Now we're on. Okay, Rabelsai, before we continue, we just had one thing that I said I would look to see if any of the Modern Day Sfarim talked about, so I was not disappointed by the Bnei Shulchan. Could someone's wife go to work when they are in Shiva? After all, Midina de Gemara, whatever their wife earns belongs to them. The wife's like an Eved or a Shivka, but it should be no different than Banav Nosav, right? He doesn't own Banav Nosav, but once he has the Dini Mogus right to their income, then it's Usser. So he says here that the Badi Ashulchan in Sivkat Lamed Zayin quotes from a few Achronim that the wife is also usher to work when the husband's in Shiva, because since he owns her income, therefore she's also work. And then he points out, however, no one ever keeps this. So it's a Tzarech Ion, he says, why no one ever keeps this halacha. Tzarech Ion of Asam Kulo Hakel B'kach, but he does give a clue beforehand where he says that he quotes from the Sefer called Das Kedoshim that you could be matter this Isser. If the husband is mochel his wife's, if the husband is mochel his wife's maisiyadayim or his kid's maisiyadayim, then it makes it mutter. So I think you could, this is all in Sivkatan Lamed Zayin with Vadei Shulchan, just put two and two together and say, min astam, it's an umdana nowadays that the husband is mochel his wife's earnings when she goes out to work while he's in Shiva. And because really what happens in Astam nowadays, if anyone's ever at a wedding, they got married, let's say, and they get married in America, they sign Tanoim. What does it say in the Tanoim, right? The Tanoim weren't written by a bunch of feminists. What does it say in the Tanoim? So even the short Rav Moshe version Tanoim, what did they write in Europe? Yishlo tu b'nif sayim shava b'shava. They just split everything equally. And even though P'din Torah, the husband owns everything in the household and the wife gets certain rights when she's divorced or widowed, etc. But our minhag nowadays is like it says in the Tanoim, Yishlatu b'nechseim shaveh b'shaveh. And therefore, it could very well be that nowadays, regardless of the fact that Medina the Gemara, the husband has certain rights, and I have no idea if they get divorced, they go through lawyers to court, what each lawyer will say, I don't know. But the mice of the minhag generally is Yishlatu b'nechseim shaveh b'shaveh, in which case that the wife gets to spend her earnings and not just the husband gets to decide what to do with them. And therefore, there's, you know, perhaps an umdana that he's always mochel his wife's earnings. Certainly that he's mochel his wife's earnings if he's in Shiva. And I think the Badei Shulchan reports, the Minhag Olam, where he lived in Brooklyn, is that the wife goes out to work while the husband's sitting Shiva. That's what I've always seen happen also. So I think the answer is Taka, theoretically, the wife does, I mean, I could have thought of Alumnus otherwise. He doesn't bring down. Theoretically, the wife does go into Simon Shin Pei, Se'if Dalid. However, practically, let's assume that the husband's mochel maybe all the time, or at least in Shiva, and that's why the wife goes out to work, and we can continue allowing the minhag of the wife going out to work while the husband's sitting Shiva, and Shalom al Yisrael. Now let us continue with Simon Shin Pei Beis. Isser le'ne'ilas ha'sandol la'avel. Avel asr in Shin Pei Beis ben ilas ha'sandol. And Avel's also wear shoes that we're familiar with. We're familiar with at least from Tisha B'Av, etc. Adav Kishal Or, and just like by Tisha B'Av and Kippur, only leather shoes count the shoes. Al Pialach Avel Ban Pilya Shel Beged, but like these thick cloth socks, basically socks. O Shel Gemi or reeds, O Shel Seir or made of hair, or Shel Eitz or made of wood, clogs made of wood. Mutter Shein Milan Minal El Shel Or. It only counts halachically as a shoe if it is leather, v'mishal eitz mechubah or usher. If it's leather coated wood, then it's usher because it has leather in it, and that is our minhag. That being the Yom Kippur, being the Tisha B'Av, being the Avelos, there are people who are very machmir. Beis Hillel here in the fine print, paskins that no, the Ovel Shemamish be barefoot, and who are the Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, etc. There are those who are machmir and mamish more barefoot. However, the standard minhag olam is, like it says in the Shulchan Aruch, bein ba'avelos, rachman al-san, lo aleinu, bein b'yom kippur, bein b'tisha b'av, that they wear like some sort of sneakers that aren't leather and assume those are not cold shoes. It is a great question. Why wouldn't these be changed in the modern era? Meaning once upon a time, you couldn't have comfortable shoes that weren't made out of leather, right? Because either if they were wood, they were very hard. Or if they were cloth or reeds, they were very thin and didn't protect you from the ground. Nowadays, we have terrific shoes that aren't made of leather, right? They're just as good as the leather ones. It's an excellent question. I don't know. The only answer is maybe there's something very deep about leather being shoes that, you know, is philosophical and that transcends the normal shot. Or it's one of these things that there's a din d'rabbanan. Chazal made the din d'rabbanan however they made it. And even though the times change, the din doesn't change. Bein l'kula, bein l'chomer. Sometimes we're more machmer than we think we should be nowadays. Sometimes we're more makel than we think we should be nowadays. Just that's what they said. There are those who are machmer. But l'maisa, the menag olam, is to be makel. Yeah, but I guess so. But I don't know why luxury should really be the point here. It seems to be want more comfort. All right. L'maisa, either you'll come up with a svara, which will not be a pashta svara, or you'll just say, that's the din, and the din doesn't change with the times, or you'll be machmir. There are those who are, like I said, there are those who are machmir nowadays on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. But very few people. It's not the standard minhag olam. Okay. Beis, chaya muteris lino kol shlosha yom tein shatzina kashula. A woman who gave birth is allowed to wear shoes for 30 days. Because we know a woman who gave birth is considered sick for 30 days, and not wearing shoes is very difficult because her feet get cold and that can make her sick. She won't die, but it'll make her sick. And therefore, it's mutter and hu hadin, if you say, see the shachs of katan aleph, anyone who is sick or has something wrong with their feet is the same category. Basically, if someone has a problem and needs to wear shoes, not just for extra comfort, because otherwise they'll be sick, or they have a wound or something, then it is mutter. Okay, again, nowadays, they could just wear the same, you know, canvas sneakers as everyone else. And Lemaisa, nowadays, the woman for 30 days doesn't wear shoes. She just wears all the non-leather substitutes that we're making on and then solves the problem.
No,
30 days after giving birth. For 30 days after giving birth, she's still weak. Right, correct. If she's an oval at any point in 30 days after, because 31 days after giving birth, she's feeling better. Gimel, kol adam mutar linum lakam shesu kanas akrav. Anyone's allowed to wear shoes if they're afraid of being stung by a scorpion. Okay, it's the same basic idea. It protects your feet against scorpions. Again, nowadays, you know, if you walk someplace where there are scorpions, you would just wear non-leather shoes. If you only had leather shoes, you'd be able to wear them. Dalid. however, says the Taz here, very important, Taz in Sifkat and Aleph, he quotes in the Maharshal that there was a case of a guy who had to meet with a government official, had no choice, because he would get in big trouble. He was called by the government official, he couldn't say no, he would get in big trouble if he didn't wear shoes because it was insulting. Therefore, what he should put dirt in his shoes to make it uncomfortable. Okay, like dirt, I guess, little gravel or something, not too much, you don't have to like be crippled. But to make it uncomfortable, adds the Taz who did b'makom zakanu v'chol makom shorach leich menal yasekein. Likewise, I don't think he's talking about the chaya who is delicate, etc. But if someone needs to, a healthy person needs to wear shoes for sakanda or some other reason, then he should put dirt in his shoes too, like enough dirt to make it uncomfortable, and that way he'll be mekayim the spirit of the law, if not the letter of the law. And that's what we assume alachal ma'aseh if someone has to. Again, nowadays they just wear non-leather shoes. But theoretically, if someone had to wear leather shoes for some reason, a healthy person, then they would have to put dirt in it to make it uncomfortable.
The problem is that, like, now you're walking on dirt and not walking leather, and now it's just uncomfortable, so it's not
bad. I think the problem this is that it's like Mekayim, the idea behind it, even though it's not a technical view. I hear what you're saying, but I think the problem this just like to be Mekayim, the spirit of the law.
Which is funny, because that's true, then we shouldn't be making them on more comfortable shoes. Unless you say leather, that's.
Yeah, I mean, once you're buying, once you're compromising the letter of the law, you want to at least make up for it a little. Look, the big tzarech iyan, you're right, that are minig nowadays, but it's such a widespread minig. Yom Kippur, everyone wears non-leather shoes, right? So you know, who can argue against such a widespread minig? Yes, I also heard Rav Shaftuk or Soloveitchik that once you be makbid not to wear comfortable shoes on Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av, etc. I personally walk around in my socks on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, but it's not the minhag olam, so what are you going to do? It's not the minhag olam. Even though it really seems to make sense to, if you want to pick chumers, this makes sense to adopt. Because the best chumras, the first chumras everyone should adopt are the common sense chumras. Then the crazy chumras. This is a common sense chumra. But it's such a strong minhag olam against it that I don't know what to do. Okay, Dalit. Avala menuda shem hachma derech. Because a menuda has many of the same halachos of hell. We don't have real nidui nowadays. But if we did, he'd have many of the same halachos. Mutar binyan sasandal. On the highway, it's mutar. Why? Because if you walk on the highway without shoes, then you'll also get sick. Your feet will get very injured. But when you get to the city, you take it off because in the city it has paved streets, and on paved streets you can walk without shoes. You know, in those days the highways were all rocky and everything; your feet would be all cut and bleeding. But on the cities, the yesh v'shomer shemu irshem ruba of the chamin cholzan sheikatzel luchovay yehudin. However, yesh v'shomer, that's the minhag in Europe. If it's a goyish city, then you can wear shoes till you get to the Jewish ghetto, the Rechov HaYehudim. Why? Because somehow there was this. I tried to look it up somehow. There's obviously some historical point that I'm missing. The Goyim would make fun of us. The evil Goyim would make fun of us for walking barefoot. Okay, just to make fun of us, not a big deal. Like, what is it? That makes it sound very evil. Apparently, somehow it would lead to some sort of anti-Semitism. They would start throwing rocks at you and attacking you if you walk barefoot. I have no idea why. Why did the Goyim care about that more than anything else? Like, Jews always looked weird, right? Like, Jews did a lot of strange things. Somehow, if the Jews walked barefoot, then they would get in big trouble with the Leitzanus of the Goyim. So I'm not sure exactly, you know, what historically in that time made it so bad to walk barefoot, but apparently it was very bad to walk barefoot in front of the Goyim, and therefore it was necessary for the Sakan of the Goyim until you got to the Jewish street. And Tzarech Lachlos Minol Beis Hakaras Achshinikur Meses Barbis Meshanayin. Hey, do you have to take off your shoes right after Kfura if you have to walk home on the highway? Was already discussed. And one of the opinions there, Hagai Yeshomer Tzarech Leilchi Yachim Beis Hakaras Lebeisu Meis Avbo Imav Lo Isi Nogin Kein. Remember, there's one opinion that for father and mother, Me'ikra Den, the Avol can wear shoes home because he's going on a highway. But for father and mother, they were machmir not to wear shoes home. However, the minhag is that they always wear shoes home. Why? Says the Shach, because of the Goyim. Because you have to pass the Goyim. Okay, what's our minhag nowadays? Well, we still have three opinions. That Me'ikra Den, you can wear shoes home because there's a highway. There was a minhag that for parents to be extra machmir and take off the shoes. And then they went back to the original Ikra Din because of the Goyim. Nowadays, our minhag is that they definitely don't wear shoes because they don't have to walk home on a highway. They go home in a car. So either they change it to their sneakers or they just go in the car in their socks. Okay, one very important machlokas that comes up here is in Hilchas Tefillah. Right? If it's usher for an oval to wear shoes, then what question comes up? No, you can daven without shoes. The Muslims always daven without shoes. Right? When we live in Muslim countries, we daven without shoes. Does he say the bracha should also be called tzarki, right? Which is referring to shoes. So, I mean, we shouldn't be a villain for a long time. But I thought this might be familiar with us. It's always a hack on Tisha B'Av. Lamaisa, the Mishnah Brewer in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Simon Tafkuf, Nadalit Paskins, that you say the bracha should also be called tzarki even on Tisha B'Av. And likewise, says the Gesher Chaim here, he didn't have a Mishnah Brewer. I don't know if he owned one, but he quoted it often. But he also paskins and Avil says Shasali called Sarki. That's the accepted psak, even though there's always in the sitter, it says some people say, etc. The main Shuminagolim say Shasali called Sarki, Bain Ba'avelos, and Bain Batishaba, because Lamaisa, whatever you need to put on your feet, you'll have available to you if you need it. Simon Shin Pei Gimel. Is there, yes?
This highway head there, is that like Dafka Highway or like? Somebody needs to walk from the shul to his house.
No, it means an unpaved road. It means an unpaved road where you can't walk in your socks, right? Meaning you can walk in your socks in a paved road, right? It's not so bad. But it means someplace where you'd get hurt. It just means someplace you'd get hurt if you walk without socks, if you walk without shoes. So use your judgment. Okay, Shin Pei Gemel. Tashmish Amita, we know, is one of the things also to an Avil. Avil Aser B'Tashmish Amita. But here we get a big machlokes. Right, the Beis Yosef Protana Machlokas, we shown him that there's some tshuva of the Rush that was a little more machmir on things beyond Tashlamita, and Ben Yerucham was more machmir. So let's see the hachra of the Machaber, at least. Start for Sfardim. Aval b'shar dvar korva mutter afilim zigas hakos v'atzas amit v'chatz pana yada v'raglav. That is explicit in the Gemara. The Gemara says, but the three malachas, which are chiba, are still mutter. Right, mezigas hakos, that's us pouring the wine and making the bed and washing hands, face, and feet. Bein ba'avel zdei bein is the dar, regardless of the husband or wife is an avel, this mutter, meaning we're not going to the harchakos during a time of avelos. Let's continue in the Mechaber without the Ramah. Mutaris lechli mevkara. Likewise, they can eat together in one plate. That we don't gaza our chakos or one table. Mutaris lishanimo. Hu bevigdo, hu bevigdo. And theoretically, she wants her even to sleep together. We've shown him, right, that we have no makar that Asher sleeping in the same bed. However, it's obvious that's only if they're wearing pajamas. Hu bevigdo, hu bevigdo. It's just obvious that you can't tell them it's Isser Tash Shamit and they can sleep in bed without pajamas, without clothing. That's ridiculous. But with clothing is okay. Umi umi shom lech lech aminu lin zira. There's a principle called lech lech aminu lin zira schor schor le karmelo tikra. Okay, Nyana Diyoma of yesterday's Parsha. Right? Go, go, we say to the Nazir. Around the vineyard, don't come close. Meaning, what's this principle mean? Even if something's not usher, even if we have no mucker to usher something, if it seems to us to be a little too close, then we have to be extra machmir. Therefore, he says, yesh lahachmir. He can't say usher. It's not usher, but nonetheless, the proper practice is lo yishanim of mita klal, to have separate beds, not to sleep in her bed. That's the halacha for Sfardim. They can do anything but actual tashmish, and they can't sleep in the same bed naked, and really, they can't sleep in the same bed at all. They should have separate beds. Okay, so that one harchuk of separate beds they should keep. The Ashkenazim are much more machmir, says the Ramah of Alchiba Venishuk Yesh Lahachmir. This is very controversial. Ramah says the Ramah Yesh Lahachmir, it's proper to be machmir, right? On Chiba Venishuk as well, because Chiba Venishuk is a step closer to that it might lead to tashmish, as opposed to pouring the kos and making the bed and then eating together, etc. Right? Like, for example, Chiva Benishak is a chash v'nishuk araisa, according to the Rambam, nanamikir v'asar, as opposed to all these other things that are only xeris to Rabbanan pashtus. And Lamai says, that there are yesh lahachmir v'chiva v'nishak. Okay, this is a very, very, why is this a controversial Ramah? Okay, the Ramah is machmir for bini yerucham. It's not controversial to use machmir for a minority shita. Many times the Ramah says it's proper to be machmir for a minority shita. Is there any stronger base of this? So Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes, it's a targum of Koheles. The targum of Koheles says, eis l'chabek v'eis l'chok mi'chabek. Right? What does that mean? What does the targum say? It's a time to hug, not in Avelos, and it's a time to stay away from hugging during Avelos. So that's a ancient makor for this Ramah, that hugging and kissing should go with hugging, is usher during Avelos. This is very controversial because it's not, Chasam Sofer in a few places deals with whether we bring rayas for the Targum on the Megillos, because the Targum, as we know, right, that the, who did not write the Targum on Ksuvim? Yonatan ben Uzziel. How do we know that? Because the Gemara says he wanted to, but a Baskol came out and told him not to. So it's not exactly clear who wrote the Targum on Koheles. Some of the Achronim debate whether the Targum on the Megillus was written by an Orthodox Jew or not. Obviously, I don't mean Reformed Conservative. That would be anachronistic. But there were non-Orthodox Jews in those days also, right? And we call them sectarians if we don't want to have to, you know, commit ourselves to what sect they were from. So it's a very unclear. The provenance of the Targum on Ksuvim is a little unclear. Was it written necessarily by one of the Bali Masorah or not? Nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva Eger here apparently thinks it's right to be somech on it, and therefore he brings a right to the Ramah. Halach l'maisa, the Ramah says yesh l'hachmir. What is yesh l'hachmir? One should be machmir. He doesn't say usher l'gamre. This is a very, very hard halacha for people to accept. It seems like very, very machmir to people. L'maisa, if the Ramah says yesh l'hachmir, then yesh l'hachmir. That's we try to do what it says in the Ramah for Ashkenazic Jews. However, I wouldn't necessarily push this on all the Balabatim. After all, it's a Yesh Lahachmer, not Yisr Gomer. And sometimes, you push things that are too machmer on people and they just say, oh, this is crazy, and they stop listening to you. So I think that one has to use a sound judgment in knowing, when to preach to someone who's going to listen, when not to preach to someone who's not going to listen. Me'ikradin, the Minig Ashkenaz, is that Yesh Lahachmer, one should refrain from Chibuk Benishuk as well as Exera Atu Tashmish Amita. For Ashkenazim, Sfardim, don't hold from this at all.
What is the Isser of Tashmish Amita?
It's one of the Isseri Avelis.
Meaning,
you're
saying...
Like the Sandal and Rechia, it's just one of these Surya Velas.
Right, I'm saying, it's Hebrew Venetian,
yes, because if we're nervous, it will lead. No, because if we're nervous, it will lead. Because we're nervous, it will lead.
I think I'm going to ask this before I forget. Does this apply to
Venetians
as well?
So Ashkenazim say that an own... Well, even without Ashkenazim, right? The Mechaber paskins that an Onin is also in Tashmish Shamita, right? Right? Meaning, even the Mechaber says an Onin doesn't have Isar Avelos, admits that an Onin is also Dafkin Tashmish Shamita, because he considers Tashmish Shamita to be uniquely disrespectful to the mace. So if we ask, if Ashkenazim say Yesh L'Hachber during Avelos, then you might think during Aninus as well. Unless one wants to be a chalik, that during Avelos, the kuli alma tash shamita is usher. Naninus, we saw in the Beis Yosef, you got a chance to see the Rav Yah, if I'm not mistaken, held tash shamita was mutter during Aninus. So maybe we'd be a little more. My intuition is that it would be the same thing. Even though I don't have a explicit raya. But since halacha lemaisa, 99% of all rishonim say tash shamita is usher during aninos, then you'd think that it should be the same halacha. I mean, the Ramah says it here and he doesn't say it there. I don't know. Okay, I have to think about it. It's a good question. I can't prove it. Okay. The Sif Beis says Bamedvarim Mishar Avelos. Avala Meis here is referring to Simon. I think it was Shin Mem Beis that we skipped. But there's a special heter. You remember from the beginning of Ksubas probably Avala Meis Avish Shal Chasam and Ima Shal Kalash and Machnisas Ameis Lechedev Yisal Chasam Yisal Kal Lechopo Bol Bilos Mitzvah Uporish Menogen Shivas Yimei Mishav Yechakar Shivas Yimei Avelos Asar Lis Yachnima Kol Yud Dalad Yom Elohu Yashim Ben Anashim Yishin Ben Anashim Yisav Yisim Shin Men Beis. There's a special heter that it says in Shin Men Beis you don't practice nowadays anymore. Where if the Chasam's father or the Kalash's mother died right before the Chuppah, they would delay the burial, have the Chuppah while the dead body was lying in the next room, and then have 7 Yimei Mishnah and 7 Yimei Avelos, and they would have an Isser of Dvarim Shebetzinah the whole time. And since they made this special heter to delay the burial and get married while Mason was to the fun of, which is a very strange heter to make up for that, and they thought, once they had that heter, people would think that everything was mutter, because once you give someone a special heter, they now think they can violate all the halachas, because all the halachas are optional. Therefore, they made a special chumer to make up for it in Asur Yichud. Okay, but Lamaisa, we don't have that anyway nowadays. Well, in Konas Lechopa, the closest we have nowadays is something that's not a special heter. In Konas Lechopa, B'skili Me'am Mishnah Shalom Be'achakach Meis L'Meis, Motel L'Siachni Mo'kom B'Shar Avelos. But what's the closest we have? Let's say they were already in Shevar Brachas and then a relative died. Now Shevar Brachas is like a Yanta for them, and the Yanta pushed off the Avelos. That's not a special heter. That's the regular heter of Yanta pushing off the Avelos. Therefore, there's no Isser Yichud. So for us, there's no Isser Yichud, unless, of course, we Shabal. This is all after the Bi Rishon. We haven't failed this Nida, right? If she's a Nida and they haven't yet consummated the marriage, there's a big Yitzhar than Isser Yichud. Likewise, if they haven't yet consummated the marriage and there's Avelos, then there's an Isser Yichud. But assuming they consummated the marriage, then there'd be no Isser Yichud. Shin Pei Dalet. Avel Aser B'Talmud Torah. Avel kol shivas yamim aser likros b'torah nevim uksuvim mishnah gemar halachas v'agados. Meaning he's aser to learn any type of Torah. There's one heter, however, vim rabim tzricha lo lislamid motor. If the rabbin need him to teach them, meaning there's no one else, the rabbin need him, then there's a special heter. Why? Because the Talmud Torah needs of the rabbin outweigh the avelos of the yachid. Okay, that is a special heter, only if it's necessary. I mean, there's no one else who can do it instead. Even in that case, he has to do it with a little less publicity, I would say. The whole point is that the public needs it. But a little less fanfare. He shouldn't have a Torgamon repeat what he says. Instead of the normal way, Torgamon was a loud, human loudspeaker. The rabbi would tell the loudspeaker would repeat it. Rather, he tells someone else who tells the loudspeaker to repeat it. And therefore, he's a little more withdrawn. And that reminds that he's still an Avelos. Says the Ramah, this is not so clear. What if he just darshins without a Torgamon? You could have said that's worse. Or you could say that's better because he's not going through a Torgamon. He just stops speaking. Says the Ramah, it's better. O yidrosh ba'atmo. If he darshins himself, that's okay. So if they need him to give a shir and there's no one else to give a shir, he can give a shir himself. And even though it said the needs of the rabbin includes, it doesn't mean it has to be rabbin. It just has to be the community doesn't have anyone else. Let's say a yachid has a shaylan isra heter and there's no other rabbi in town to paskin the yachid's chicken. Then he can answer. However, what about giving shir to his talmidim? What's the point of giving shir to his talmidim? Let's assume his talmidim could learn on their own. Or he can give them shir. He gives shir in a yeshiva. Should he give shir in his yeshiva while he's in shiva? So he quotes a machlok. Yes, maybe that's like rabbim tzrichim lo. Or maybe not. The yeshiva guys can learn on their own. That's not the rabbim. It's not like the town has no one to tell them what halachos to do when Pesach comes or whatever. Here, the guys learn on their own. So it's not clear. Is that a need because someone needs to give shir? Or no, a need is only if someone has a shiloh or the rabbim need to learn the halachos, etc. So it's a machlokas, and the Rama is machmir halacha lemaisa. A lot of people argue about this. There are two cases they argue. Number one, how about the giving shir, what the Rama calls lomar halacha letalmidav. So when it comes to giving shir, the Taz quotes here from the Ravini Rucham, that's told us Adam Echaba, that's the Ravini Rucham, who says that after 3 days they were makel, that's the compromise. Right? Remember we saw that the 3 days are always more chomer, so sometimes in Smachlokas we compromise after 3 days. So he compromised after 3 days, he was makel to give shir after 3 days. Okay. Lamaisa, I haven't seen nowadays any Rebbeim going into yeshiva and giving shir when they're in shiva, even though a lot of the Echronim, all the Echronim quote the Taz, that's much after 3 days. Not only that, what if he's not giving shir to yeshiva bachram? What if he's giving shir to little kids? Melamed tinokos. So by melamed tinokos, says the Shach, it's mutter even from the very beginning of shir. Why is it mutter from the beginning of shir, says the Shach? Number one, it's Rabban Tzrichim Lo. The svar being they can't learn on their own like the Talmidim. And number two, it's Davar Ha'avid. Davar Ha'avid is a heter. Right? What's Davar Ha'avid? They won't learn without him. Shiva Bachim could learn without, just better to have a shir. But the little kids won't learn it on. Halach l'maisa quote the Achron and the Shach and the Taz. Someone who gives shir to Bachrim can give shir after 3 days. And someone who teaches little kids can teach them right away. However, the minhag nowadays, I haven't seen that happening. Nowadays, when a rabbi sits shiva, someone else just takes over his shir. Even though some Echronim say a substitute never succeeds with kids, which we all remember from kids. But lamaisa, for the minhag nowadays I've seen is that they just stay sitting shiva, even though the Shach and the Taz have many kulas here. one interesting discussion is in the Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Aleph, who quotes, what about on Yontif? Yontif meaning not just Yontif, but Regel, right? The whole, including Chol Moed. On Yontif, the Avil is Noheg Dvar Mishum Tzidav, if he's before Shiva. Right, if his relative died on Yontif and was buried in Chol Moed, he's Noheg Dvar Mishum Tzidav. So Dvar Mishum Tzidav means he shouldn't be able to learn Torah. On Shabbos, the Avil Taki can't learn Torah. How about on Yontif? So on Yontif, the Chacham Tzvi gave a Kula. What was his Kula? His Kula was, you never want Bittul Torah. During a weekday, it won't be Bittul Torah. He'll learn sad things. But on Yontif, he can't learn sad things, and therefore it'll be Bittul Torah if he can't learn sad things, and he can't learn happy things. Therefore, the Heter Talmud Torah on Yontif. That's the Chacham Tzvi's Heter Talmud Torah, is Bittul Torah, assuming that Talmud Torah really is more important than Avelos. The only reason it's usher on weekdays is because you can learn sad things. And since on Yontif, you're not supposed to be sad, therefore there's a Heter. That's questionable, but what's more accepted is what he says here at the end, look what I said in the Pesachei Tshuvos and Shinsadi Tess in the name of the Tshuvos Eish Das. What did the Tshuvos Eish Das say? Tshuvos Eish Das had a separate heter for Talmud Torah and Yontif. He said, because you're chayav to learn Torah on Yontif, because Yontif you have a chi of simcha, and anyone tell me something about the chi of simcha on Yontif? Is it just about what you eat and what you drink? Quote me a phrase. Etc. Right, so therefore, it's a necessary part of Simchas Yontif to learn Torah. It's not just stam; it's a happy day. No, it's necessary. Just like you wouldn't tell the other not to blow shofar or not to sit in a sukkah, if it's necessary, it's necessary. Halacha lemaisa, we assume whichever of these svaras, probably the Eish Das, but there are two svaras to matter Talmud Torah on Yontif, including Chol Moed. One, Bittul Torah, because you're not supposed to learn sad things. Two, Mitzvah Hayom. Halach lemaisa, probably because of mitzvah sayom, he doesn't say that here. He says, look over there, and over there he says it. Halach lemaisa, we assume that an avil's mutter in Talmud Torah, not on Shabbos. On Shabbos, no chetzi lachem, chetzi lachem, but on Yontif. Like this Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Aleph. Okay, that's halach lemaisa. On Yontif, including Chol Moed, the avil is mutter. Okay, Beis. Im Avil Kohen ve'im Beis Knesses Kohen Acher also lo laos likud v'Torah. Yes.
Regarding the remarks that you're allowed to answer Shaila for somebody else, do we normally assume that this answering a Shaila like us or Mitzvah is in the Keder Torah?
Yes. Yes. That's telling a halacha. Yes.
Before we spoke about like when someone's not in the Avil, you kind of should follow the Avil's lead. The Avil is spending a lot of time learning, speaking things out. Is that
Let's get to it. Okay. Beis. Imal Avil Kohen ve'in Beis Knesset Kohen Acher Asal Olaz Lukas V'Torah. Right? I mean, it goes without saying if the Avil's a Yisrael. Right? We assume getting an Aliyah is Talmud Torah. The Avil's not allowed to get an Aliyah. Certainly not allowed a lane. Not allowed a lane or get an Aliyah because those are both parts of Talmud Torah. The Avil can't get an Aliyah or lane because of Talmud Torah. And the Pesach Tshuva, he quotes in the end of Sukkot and Aleph from the Machzik Bruch of the Chidah that on Tisha B'Av he can get an Aliyah. Why? Because on Tisha B'Av we're all Avilim. So what difference does it make? Not to mention, we only learn sad things. But an Avil is not allowed to get an Aliyah. Real Halach L'Maisav. He might think, oh, we're making a minion in the Avil's house. Give him Shlishi. He can have an extra Baruchu and it'll be his Achos for Alpiyas Neshama. No. It's usher to give him an Aliyah. Even if he's the only Kohen, it's usher to give him an Aliyah. Normally you're not allowed to give Yisrael an Aliyah if there's a Kohen because people have questions, Yechus, etc. No, but everyone knows he's an Avel, and it's no problem. So it's absolutely usher to give an Aliyah to an Avel, even if he's the only Kohen. However, says the Shachir, that's on a weekday. What about on Shabbos? On Shabbos, we haven't gotten there yet, but we all know what type of Avelus do we practice on Shabbos and what type of Avelus is it usher to keep on Shabbos? Sinner versus Farhesia. So on Shabbos, it depends if it's Sinner or Farhesia. If it's not noticeable, then it's usher for the Avil to get an Aliyah on Shabbos. But if it would be noticeable, then it would be mutter. For example, if he was the only Kohen and everyone was standing there, everyone would say, hey, there's a Kohen. Why aren't they calling him up? And then you'd have to call him up on Shabbos to not demonstrate Avil Farhesia on Shabbos. Or Halacha Lamaisa, Rabbeinu Tam, always got Shlishi. Wasn't in the Madriga or Avadia. Avadia always got Rishon, even though he wasn't the Kohen. But Rabbeinu Tam always got Shlishi. Always got Shlishi. If Rabbeinu Tam was in your shul, you would always give him Shlishi. When Rabbeinu Tam said Shiva, I think it was Rabbeinu Tam, they gave him Shlishi, because that would be the Farhesia if all of a sudden they deviated from their minhag. Okay, so on Shabbos, you can give an Avil an Aliyah if it would be noticeable. But on weekdays, you can't give an Aliyah at all. So, does he have to leave the room not to listen to Kriyas Torah? Good question. Halach l'maisa, we assume he shouldn't listen to the Kriyas Torah. Does he have to leave the room? I don't know. From my experience as an Orthodox Jew for many decades, I think rove people even in the room don't listen to Kriyas Torah, so it's okay. Feel free to contradict me if you have different experience. Gimel. He can still count towards the minion, though. Interestingly, it's an interesting question. You count towards the minion for Kriyas Torah if it's usher for him to learn. Lemaisa, we still count for the minion for Kriyas Torah. After all, B'shas Hatchak, we even count someone who's asleep for the minion. So even though, you know, you could say maybe this is worse, halacha l'maisa we count him. Meaning maisa b'chol yom, they just get a minion in the shiva house and they lean it. By the way, it's also, you should know, also, you know, in many shiva houses, they learn mishnayis between mincha and ma'ariv or some other time. Why do they dafka learn mishnayis and not anything else? Because mishnah is osios neshama, so therefore I'll be sowed, it's deeper. I'll be sowed, there's a reason why mishnah is osios, that's that it's coincidence. You know, I'll be so. There's a reason Mishnah is Osius Neshama, because it's a deep thing that we don't understand. Therefore, however, Halacha L'maisa, the Avel's not supposed to listen to that, because he's Aser in Talmud Torah. When the Rabbi Darshi, Mincha and Mariv in the Shiva house, the Avel should leave the room. Or, if he doesn't leave the room, he shouldn't listen. Okay, at the end, someone could give the Avel a poke in the elbow when the Rabbi starts talking about it, and the Nifter was so wonderful because, etc., then the Avel can listen. When he learns the Mishnah, the Avel, people think it's a big mitzvah for the Ovel to listen to the Mishnayis, because Eloi Neshama, no, it's a big Avera. Smaller? I don't know. It's an Avera. I don't decide how big. The Ovel is not allowed to listen to that. He should either leave the room or at least not listen.
Is the gather for what we consider sad things the same as what we consider sad things?
Yes, we'll get there in a moment. Gimel. In Ein Shami Sheis Palo Hotzias Ram Dechovasan, Yachol Ovel is Palo Hotzi. And if there's no one else who knows how to be the Chazen, like to daven for the Amud, the Avil can daven for the Amud. And now, here it sounds like the Avil can only be the Chazen if he's stuck, right? If no one else knows how. Here it's a little tricky, because we said in Simin Shinai in Vav, that the Avel should davka daven for the Yoma, because it's better than, remember we said, Kaddish Yosom is what Tanim could say. It's better to be the Chazan. So how can it's better to be the Chazan? Here it's only B'diyevet, he could be the B'shasat Chak, he could be the Chazan. So if you look here in the Gilyan Marsha or the Beis Hillel, they're both in small print on the page, they both say, no, it depends who died. If his brother or sister or son or daughter or wife died, then he can only be the chazan b'diyevet, if no one else can. But if his father or mother died, then l'chachila, he should be the chazan, because it's a chus to say kaddish. However, I think our minhag is not that way. Our minhag is not like Pshat of the Shulchan Aruch, and not like the Beis Hillel and the Gilyan Marsha. Our minhag is, if you'll just allow me to flip open the Aruch HaShulchan here, says the Aruch HaShulchan, right here, if Ches Kvar Chol calls a harbe gadol mechriyush adram a mitzvah level is palel, says now many achronim disagree with this and say it's the big mitzvah for the Avel to daven regardless. That's our minhag. It's not like the Shulchan Aruch. Our minhag is like the Aruch HaShulchan. It's always nice for the Avel to daven for the Avel, even if it's not for a parent. And that's my smachol yom. I think if someone's brother died and they're sitting shir for their brother, then they offer them to daven for the Amud.
And would the Beit Hillel and the Gilyan Marsha agree that post-Shiva there is some Mila for them to daven for the Amud?
They would at least agree that there's nothing wrong with it. I don't know if they'd say it's a Mila. And the Aruch HaShulchan also points out that nowadays the Shliach Tzibur is not actually Motzi anyone Yidei Chavaso anyway, so he's not sure this Mechaber would apply. Okay, but Lamaisa, we hold like the Aruch HaShulchan here that it's perfectly fine. Yes?
So we're not like concerned about Sukkim or Torah that come up in daven?
No, we're not. We assume that the davening is not Talmud, just like on Tisha B'Av. The davening doesn't count as Talmud Torah, that just counts as Seder Ayom. The Ramah continues, the mitzvah is fal shach v'arv is mokav shemesh shom afilu ein ovel ki yeshu zen achas ruch and shom v'ovel and sarth l'minyan. That, it's a mitzvah to make a minyan. He had said this earlier. He said two things. First of all, even if the ovel is not there, it's a mitzvah to make a minyan where the guy died. Nowadays, people usually die in hospitals, so it's not so shayach. If someone died at home, a mitzvah to make a minion there. Although earlier said, if the oval is making a minion elsewhere, then that's okay. And the oval counts towards a minion. Pisgei Chuvir Sukkotin Beis deals with something that's also in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. He says, what about Karbanos? Did the oval say Karbanos, Effi? After all, he said, they say to Rayom of Sukkot, Zimra and Kriyashma, and even Volitziyam, which is really like a little like Talmud Torah. No, that's Seder Rayom. How about Karbanos? And he brings two possible reasons why it should be usher. What are the two possible reasons? Number one, the Zichron Yitzchak says it's usher because of Talmud Torah. Number two, the Chomos Yerushalayim says it's usher for a different reason. Why? Because the Rambam paskins, then an Avol can't bring Karbanos. The first in the Rambam, based on the Gemara, Avol Eina Mishaleach Karbanosav Kol Shiva. Okay, the Rav had a big Kiddush, that's no Raisa. But whether or not it's no Raisa, it's Halacha. An Avol's not allowed to bring a Karban, meaning if a guy's sitting Shiva, he can't tell someone, here, take this 200 shekel bill, go buy a sheep and have it brought for me in the Beis HaMikdash. No, an Avol can't bring Karbanos. So there are two possible Isurim. Says the Chomos Yerushalayim, however, in the end, that's what he says in the name of the, Tvuah Shor. But he says in the end, no, it's okay to say Karbanos, just skip the Yehi Ratzon. So there are two possible problems. The one Talmud Torah, and the Pesachei Tshuva says in the end, I wonder why the Chomos Yerushalayim didn't ask her because of the Talmud Torah, because he says it's okay, just skip the Yiratzon, because if you skip the Yiratzon, you're not bringing a Karban. Okay, we know the answer to why he didn't ask her because of the Talmud Torah, because he held it with Seder Hayom. What's our minhag? Our minhag is to be choshesh for each of these reasons halfway. What does that mean? We're choshesh for Talmud Torah, but not for the basic Seder Hayom. We're choshesh for the Isra bringing Karbanos, but if you skip the Yiratzon, it's okay. What does that mean, halacha lemaisa? What is our minhag? Halacha l'maisa, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Hilchos Tisha B'Av, or the Gesher HaChayim here, the same thing. You can't say the full Karbanos, because that's Talmud Torah, but you can say a basic Karbanos, because that's Seder Hayom. What constitutes a basic Karbanos? A basic Karbanos is the Ezel Mekoman, and the Enkel Okeinu, and the Parshat Tamid and the Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Okay, you could say the basic Karbanos, because the basic Karbanos have a heter of Seder Ayom, but even in the basic Karbanos, you have to skip the Yehi Ratzon. Because you skip the ratzon so as not to be bringing a korban with someone to Nafel. And you skip the optional korbanos so as not to be learning Torah. But the basic korbanos are considered seder yom. And that is and that is okay. I said, yeah, just the tamid and the Ezer Makoman and the Rosh Shmuel Omer, and for those who say Enkelokeinu, the Enkelokeinu, that's part of the Seder Yom. But the other things, like the Parshas Akiyor and the Trumas Hadeshen and the Abayim Seder HaMaracha, that we skip because of Talmud Torah, and the Hirotzons we skip, not the Hirotzon after Rosh Shmuel Omer, but the Hirotzon of, by the Parshas HaTamid, we skip, because then it's like bringing a korban. Okay, that's the Halacha L'maisa. We take the Zichron Yitzchak to avoid Talmud Torah. But matter the basic korbanos, that's Seder Yom. We take the Chomos Yerushalayim and the Tvor Shor to avoid bringing korbanos, but like the Chomos Yerushalayim, say it's enough to just skip the Hiratzon. That's the Minhag Halacha Le'emaseh. Okay, Dalit, the Rush brings a big machlokas on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says Mefurish. There's an Isser of Talmud Torah, but it's mutter to learn sad parts of Torah. How about by an Avil? Is an Avil allowed to learn sad parts of Torah or not? So this is a big machlokas. This is a big machlokas Rishonim. The Rush already quotes machlokas Rishonim. Tosos and the Ri and other Bali Tosos said that an Avil is more chomer and not allowed to learn sad things. The Rush says an Avil is allowed to learn sad things. What are the two svaros? The svara of the Rush is Pashut. He just says Tisha B'Av and Avilus are the same thing because Tisha B'Av is Avilus. What's the svara of the Tosfos quoted in the Rush who says an Avil is not even allowed to learn sad things? So, the way most Achron understand that you say, well, Avilus is a little more chomer than Tisha B'Av. The Rav had a whole nice, beautiful lumbus. What did the Rav say? The Rav says that really no one is allowed to learn sad things. Sad things are also part of Talmud Torah. He says, you know why? In Tisha B'Av, we're allowed to learn sad things? Because it's a kiyum in mitzvah hayom. The mitzvah sayom of Tisha B'Av is to learn the sad things about the Chorban, is to learn the sad parts of Torah. But it's not a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah sayom. The mitzvah sayom of Tisha B'Av is to read Eicha, right? And to learn sad things from the Torah, and to learn sad things from the Navi, and likewise to learn other sad things. So the Rav understood that it was a Chakira. Why does the Gemara matter on Tisha B'Av? If the Gemara matters on Tisha B'Av because sad things don't make you happy, let's preface. Why is it usher for Navi to learn Torah? Because of which pasuk? So if it's that sad things aren't Misam Chilev, then an Avil is also allowed to learn sad things. But if it's that sad things aren't Misam Chilev, but it's Mutter and Tisha B'Av, because it's a Kiyam and Mitzvah Yom, because part of the mitzvah of every day is to learn the Torah of that day, and the Torah of Tisha B'Av is the Torah of sadness, then on Tisha B'Av there's a special din of Idaver Moshe Esmodei Hashem Ubnei Yisrael to learn sad parts of Torah. But an Avil who has no Kiyam Hayom is Usser. So that was the Rav's, it's a nice lundus in terms of what it says about Tisha B'Av. Right? It's not, you know, sort of, why is there a heter of Dvarim Haraim? The Tisha B'Av, according to the Rav, is it because it's not Mesam Chelev, or because the Kiyom Hayom is Doche Avelos? Nafgamina is Shiva. If it's not Mesam Chelev, then it's Mutter to learn the bad parts of Torah, the sad parts of Torah. If it's a kiyum hayom, then it's usher in shiva. There's no kiyum hayom in shiva to be docha avelus. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? The mechaber is very clear. This would be Tosfos quoted in the Rush. This would be the Rush himself. We paskin mutter, that's if dalad. Avel mutter likros, the eov, the kinos, and verm haram shiva yermia. Right? Eov, kinos. Kinos meaning not what we call kinos, meaning echa. And the sad parts in Yirmiya, over Hilchas Avelos and Hilchas Avelos. Right? Hilchas Avelos mean not just that he needs to look something up. Obviously, if he needs to look something up, he can look it up. He can stop sitting and learn Hilchas Avelos because it's sad. Bahani mi lebeinu lebein atzvo, but that's only by himself. Aval eino lo min macherim elahim, but he can't learn with a group. Because then that already becomes more, first of all, it's more piercing. It doesn't look like the guy's in mourning. And also becomes happier to learn with a group. Other people can learn Hilchas Avelos in the house. And if they make a mistake and he has a hara, he says in a soft voice. He corrects them in a soft voice. But he doesn't stop me ask questions. This is only if the Rabban don't need him. The Rabban need him. Even in Hilchas Pesach, he could darshan if the Rabban need him. That we already saw. Okay, so there's a heter from to learn sad things, but not with the geschmack of learning in a chabura. So what does that mean, Effie? It means the other people in Elville's house can learn Hilchos Avelos. That's what it says here. Just, he should only participate, he should listen. If he has an important ta'ara, he should say it very softly. Now, what does it mean to learn? If you look in the Birkei Yosef, in the small print here, he says, he would sit by himself and learn with tremendous eon Hilchos Avelos. He writes for him this Hiddushim when he's in Shiva. But Leah had your love, Shapir Abed, and I think he was wrong. The Vadek, him, Shemamek, be you know, Machadish, in simple Latar Domizo, Loytira Limbo, Shati Din Mashmulos. The Chen Kasper Achron Affairs, Gabi Tishba, and Pashba Enai. Yeah, the Achron, greater Achron than earlier Achron than him wrote this by Tishba. He says, obviously, the Hector is only to learn Bekias. Because if you learn Be'ion, that's a tremendous Simcha. Okay, here it's interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan says, he argues on him here. The Aruch HaShulchan here says, no, don't criticize whoever that gadol was. He says here, V'liner Ikka Kedibri Oso Gadol. Why? Because he says that it's better to learn Be'ion. It's much better to learn Be'ion. It's always better to learn Be'ion. And then if you learn Be'ion and you have a chiddush, what can you do? You have to write it down before you forget it. The Rav certainly held like this, Aruch HaShulchan. The Rav apparently once said, it can't be that on Tisha B'Av or Avelis it's also learned Be'ion, because it says you're allowed to learn. And if it's not Be'ion, it's not learning. Okay, but that's a little hard, a little sharper. But the Aruch HaShulchan already says that the Lomo Be'ion Adif Tvei, even on Tisha B'Av. So Halacha L'maisa, even though the Mishnah Berurah and standard Halacha books say on Tisha B'Av and in Avelis one can only learn Be'kias, the Aruch HaShulchan was Matra learning Be'ion. The Rav for sure held you could learn Be'ion. So there is what to be so mechan to learn Be'ion Bain on Tisha B'Av, Bain on Avelos, even though the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that way in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. And the Birkei Yosef doesn't say that way. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that they had to learn Be'ion, and the Rav held that very much. We know when the Rav said Shiva, he learned Hilchos Avelos Be'ion Rav. And he would talk with the people in his who came to pay Shiva call about Hilchos Avelos sometimes. Okay, what about the fact that it says, Eino Lomino Lacherim? I assume he was learning by himself, and then he couldn't help himself but mention it to the guy who walked in. There is an interesting Yerushalmi, which is quoted by the Beis Yosef, but not in Shulchan Aruch, where it says if someone's lot after Torah, they couldn't resist Torah, they can't stay away from learning, they're addicted to learning, then there's their chazal or matern to learn during Avelos because he's addicted. They say when the Ramacharver sat Shiva, not Hilchos Avelos, he just learned regular, like sat all day and learned, and whenever he came, he talked in learning, he did not change his learning one bit when he sat Shiva. What was the heter for the rugged shaver? You know, the rugged shaver was always sharp. When someone asked him, he said, no, so I'll burn in hell for learning Torah. But what did he mean by that? L'chora, what he meant by that, you know, again, if it was someone else, I would say he was just an Amma'ara to made up to your Dixfaras. But obviously, the rugged shaver knew every Yerushalmi better than you know, that 2 + 2 = 4. So obviously what the Rishon meant is that, you know, look, some people are addicted to Torah, and if they're addicted to Torah, Chazal were making on them. Okay, so there are, you know, there is a heter here. Maybe you could say the Rav was addicted to Torah, for sure he was. But in any case, the Rav held even if you're not addicted to Torah, it's much to learn the Eon. But, you know, again, not to have like a Geshmak Chabura.
Have you ever heard that Rav?
Well, I guess that's the same thing as what I'm saying. Yeah, I didn't hear that. That's not the story I heard in the name of the Rav. But it could be, you know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you say the Rishalmi is like an Istinus, right? Just like an Istinus is Mutter and Rechitza and other things. So an Istinus who's addicted to Torah is Mutter and Torah. But it's a Mefurish Rishalmi, so it's not a crazy Svara. Again, the Ragat Shavar, he always liked to be a little more flamboyant in his expressions. So he said, fine, I'll burn in hell for learning Torah. But the assumption is that he was Somekhan the Rishalmi, not that he really wants to burn in hell. If someone asked me, I would say that for most of us in our Madrega, one should learn Bekias during Avelos. We're not the Rav that we need to learn the Eon. You know, if something comes up and you have to be Mayan, it'd be Mayan it. But Lamaisa, I would say that for a regular person who doesn't, you know, who has plenty of Bekias, they need to learn. It's good to learn Bekias. Let them go through the, you know, art scroll book of Hilchos Avelos Bekias. And when they finish that, then they can go back and ask. That's what I would say. But again, if someone wants to learn Be'ion, then, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rav are on their side, and the Rav's good enough for me. Okay. Hey, Avel Sheyesh Lo. Banim Katanim, Ein Lo Dabat Mi Lamudam. If they're a little kid, even if they're also Avelim, they shouldn't miss Cheder. Because we know little kids don't have Avelis. So they shouldn't be Musbatel from Talmud Torah. Okay, what do people do nowadays? I'm not sure. What I've seen nowadays is often the little kids do stay home from yeshiva when they're in Avelis, even though they're part of Avelis, they should be learning Torah. In our days in general, like, people have many days off from yeshiva, which they didn't seem to have in the old days. So I assume in Zilberman's, so they have no days off from yeshiva. If they're 12-year-old sitting shiva, then he goes to yeshiva, like the Shulchan Aruch. And the communities where people don't go to yeshiva for, you know, all the other holidays, then lechora they don't go to yeshiva during Avelis, and they just assume that it's bechlal vacation. No, you shouldn't stop them from learning. It doesn't mean he should teach them himself. Okay, Shin Pei Hei, Sheila Shalom. Aval Aser B'Sheila Shalom. What is Sheila Shalom? In the simple chat, means Shalom Aleichem, right? You greet someone with Shalom Aleichem. Or are they different versions in the old days, right? If you read Gemara, sometimes they would say Shalom Chon Yaske, etc. You know, that was in a letter, or in person they say Shalom Aleichem, or something like that. Is it Iser Sheila Shalom? Keitzad? There are different madrigas. This is all from the Gemara. Shlosha yom rishonim ein shalom shalom kol adam b'machim lo yodushu avel shalom shalom lo yashim lahem el yodim shu avel. First 3 days, remember the first 3 days are more chomer because it's not only avelus bechi. He cannot greet someone else, and if someone else greets him, he can't answer, even though we know. Remember from the Shnayis and Brachos with, you know, between the prakim and in the middle of the parak, you're allowed to answer someone. It was considered very insulting in the old days. Even nowadays, and sometimes it's considered insulting, but nowadays not as much. We're a little more machmir kriyashma. It's very insulting not to respond. Nonetheless, for the first 3 days, if someone wishes him shalom, he shouldn't respond. He should just tell them, sorry, I can't respond. I'm in Avelis. For from 3 to 7, he doesn't say shalom aleichem. Someone, if someone says shalom aleichem to him, in order not to insult them, he can answer them. During Shloshim, he can say Shalom Aleichem to other people because they have Shalom, but he doesn't have Shalom. So no one's allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to him. So he can greet others. Obviously, if someone says Shalom Aleichem to him by accident, he can say it back to them. But it's the responsibility of the other people not to say Shalom Aleichem to him. After Shloshim, he's like everyone else, but Medver Mimshar Kroven. This is only true of other Kroven, of Avi'imo, but for Avi'imo, Shalom Shalom Acher Machar Shiva, Ve'inacher Shalom Shalom Adachar Yud Beis Chodesh. For Avi'imo, with his Avi'il Yud Beis Chodesh, for the full 12 months, if someone's father or mother passed away, if someone's brother or sister passed away, for 30 days you don't say Shalom Aleichem. If someone's father or mother passed away, for a full 12 months, you're not allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to them. Because they're not B'Shalom, it's really, you know, it's also a sensitivity towards their avelos. Like, they're not in shalom. You know, so don't pretend they're in shalom and everything's okay. Recognize that you are glad to see them, but they're not in shalom. Hagah, umei achshir asa b'shele shalom, kol shigin sh'asa l'harbis b'dvar. Here, Lechor, he's talking about their shiva. If there's even esher shele shalom, for sure, then I'll just schmooze a lot. Meaning, you shouldn't just schmooze a lot about unrelated things that are not related to the avelos. Okay, I think I mentioned earlier that you have to use your judgment in these things. You know, if that's the only thing that will comfort the Avel and that's the only madrega he's on, then, you know, one should go along with him. But Lamaisa, the Avel should not be schmoozing about other things during the Shiva. This is before Shemara. Special heter for the Rabim. The cover of the Rabim is very important. So the special heter for the cover of the Rabim, he can wish them shalom. Okay, so far is basically what it says in the Gemara. Here's where it gets complicated. It's interesting, the Darkei Moshe says Yesh Mekilim after Shiva. But here he says, Yesh Mekilim after Shloshim, it's obviously only applies for parents. That even after, for parents, after Shloshim, we wish the Avel Shalom Aleichem. We are Shol B'Shalom. The Ein Tam Lehem. He has no idea why. The Gemara says it's till 12 months for Avi'imo. He has no idea why there's Yesh Mekilim nowadays. And now he comes up with a theory. Im Lo She Yechal Kulom, unless they differentiate, Shezeh Masha Anum Noagin Lo Mikri She'el Shalom Shebi Mehem, that what we say is not like the She'el Shalom in their days, And ayin in Siman Pei Tes, what it's saying in Siman Pei Tes, there's an isser before Shachris to give someone She'ilo Shalom. And if you remember, there's a big machlokas in Aruch Chaim, Siman Pei Tes. What if I say, in their days, in a lot of places, they didn't say Shalom Aleichem. They said good morning, right? Safra Damar Tava, Safra Tava. What about good morning? Does good morning count the She'ilo Shalom or not? On the one hand, it's a greeting. It's a nice greeting, right? Like She'ilo Shalom, good morning is a nice greeting with a lot of goodness, right? On the other hand, it's not shalom. And what's the machlokas here? Is there something special about shalom or not? Why should there be something special about shalom? Because shalom is the name of Hashem, right? We know it says in the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos in the first parak, shalom is the name of Hashem. Therefore, you can't wish someone shalom in the bathhouse. That's the original example there. There's a lot of other halachic diunim about the use of the word shalom. But obviously it's that Shalom is the name of Hashem. It's not just that Shalom is the name of Hashem. What we mean by that is that Shalom represents, Shalom does not just mean, you know, peace. Shalom represents Hashem. I mean, Hashem is peace. But what kind of peace is Hashem? It doesn't just mean like, oh, there's no riots tonight. You know, the peace of Hashem means it's this very deep, transcendent spiritual perfection. That's what Shalom means. Hashem, there's a kind of peace, which is a spiritual perfection of everything being right on a very deep transcendent level, and that's been part of the nature of Hashem in some very deep way. That doesn't apply to an oval. The oval's not shori b'shalom, right? The oval's not shori b'shalom, right? That's what we said, right? After Shiva, he can greet other people because they have shalom, but he doesn't have shalom. What shalom doesn't he have? He doesn't have that madrega of shalom. However, he could still have a good morning. You know, I still have a good morning. You know, it just doesn't have that high madrig of shalom. So this is the machlokas. Does the Esther only apply to this high madrig of shalom? Or does it apply to all nice greetings? Halacha lemaisa, says the Rama, he's not sure, right? Yesh mekilim nowadays. And the only reason he can think why they're mekil nowadays is because, is because maybe nowadays we don't say shalom so much. I mean, it depends who and where, right? Nowadays, some people say shalom like good, but more people say good morning. Even Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, whatever it may be, right? Even a good bach is still not shalom. So he's a little mesupik whether it's a good justification or not, and says the shach, that makes no sense. Why? Because if it was mutter to say anything but shalom, it should be mutter even before 30 days, even from the first day. So how can it be that for 30 days we say we're machmir that good morning counts as she'ilo shalom, and then on the 31st day after a parent dies we say good morning doesn't count as she'ilo shalom? Like we have to pick one way or the other. So the shach doesn't like this heter. The shach doesn't like this heter at all. Lamaisa the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, right? Because a lot of these things are parallel in Tisha B'Av. If you would look at the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, that should be Siman Tav Kof Nun Dalet, right? Tav Kof Nun Dalet, Hilchos Tisha B'Av, says the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Mein Mem Aleph, Ein Shela Shalom, the Chaver B'Tisha B'Av, says the Mishnah Berurah, Behu Adin Lomer Lo Tzafra Tava Nami Yasser. Good morning is also Yasser in Tisha B'Av. That's the mainstream minhag. Mainstream meaning is that you don't say good morning on Tisha B'Av either. So the Mishnah Berurah is machmer about this. The Shach is machmer about this. However, the minhag was always three mekel. Says the Aruch HaShulchan here. Says the Aruch HaShulchan here in Sif Beis. V'yesh mekilem, etc., etc. Uchim dumani she'achshav gam betoch shloshim ein nizhorin bazeh ve'ulimitam zeh. Seems to me that nowadays, even without 30 days, we're mekel. And maybe it's because good morning is not a problem. So says the Aruch HaShulchan that even within 30 days, there is room. Even within 30 days, there's room to be mekel. Halacha lemaisa, what do we say about? You know, it seems like that's the only tzadlahakel. What other tzadlahakel could there be? The Gemara says, Meforish. This is the Isser of 3 days, this is the Isser of 7 days, this is the Isser of 30 days, this is the Isser of 12 months. The only heter could be to say what we do is not She'ilo Shalom. So Shalom Aleichem, no room to be Mekel whatsoever, right? Once you say the word Shalom, even if you don't say Aleichem, right? Ein Makom Lahater. right? There's no room to be makel on shalom. But what if you don't say shalom? What if you say good morning or good vach, etc.? So what about, you know, boker tov, right? That's our tafratava. So here it is not so clear. Halacha lemaisa, in Shiva, it's hard to be makel. In Shiva, it's very hard to be makel. Because the Mishnah Brewer and all the Achronim were explicitly machmer in Tavkuf Nun Dalet and Tishma of the equivalent of Shiva. The Gesher HaChayim is also explicitly machmer. You know, in Shiva, it's hard to be makel. Why is it hard to be makel? Let's say someone says good morning during Shiva. I wouldn't call them a Nevargan. I would say they want to be Somichan. But it's hard to be makel, right? Especially based on the Mishnah Brewer Hilchas Tishavav, which is the equivalent of Shiva, and the Gesher HaChayim in Shiva says explicitly, it's hard to be makel during Shiva. However, after Shiva, it's not so pashut. Says the Shach, it's aser, right? He says he doesn't like this chiluk. However, says the Ramah, noagim lahatir achar lamed. And says the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm not sure if he meant Shiva or not, but at the very least he meant Shloshim, Nogin Lahatir, Afilu, Toch Lamed. If you ask me, it seems to me the minhag nowadays is that people are Makel. So, Halacha Lamaisa, I think there's room to be Someich on the Aruch HaShulchan. You know, might be even better. They're not saying good morning to someone if they're in Avelos. Fine, but Lamaisa, there's room to be someone on the Aruch HaShulchan and say good morning. It's hard enough to remember not to say Shalom Aleichem to someone if they're not sitting Shiva. If they're sitting Shiva, that's one thing. If they're sitting Shiva, everything's weird. And after they finish Shiva, they come back to work. You have to remember not to say Shalom Aleichem to them. Then there's no room to be makel for a full 12 months if they're here and dying. You can't say Shalom Aleichem to them. However, they can do whatever they want, but you can't say to them. However, good morning. Nearly that we can rely on the Aruch HaShulchan, who's so meh to be makel on good morning, and even though the Mishnah Brewer is machmer in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, still Tisha B'Av is like Shiva. And I think there could be a good lungus also. What's the good lungus? That if you look during Shiva, it's two directions. Sheila Shalom is just an inappropriate distraction from Avedos. He shouldn't be normal. Okay, so even good morning you shouldn't say. You shouldn't be normal during Shiva. But during Shloshim and Yibnei Chodesh, the problem is that he is not B'Shalom. It's not that he has to be abnormal. It's just that you can't wish him shalom, and it's not true. Okay, so shalom he doesn't have, but he can still have a good morning. Who says he can't have a good morning? Says his father died more than a week ago. He can't have shalom. Shalom is a transcendent, deep concept. Maybe he can still have a good morning. Anyway, halacha lemaisa, I think there is a lumdus to justify. Maybe not using tov shloshim and after shloshim, at least tov shiva and after shiva. And I think there's room to be makel after Shiva, but during Shiva, it's very hard to be makel. I wouldn't want to be makel. Lemaisa, during Shiva, one shouldn't greet someone at all. Like when I pay a Shiva call on the telephone call, I don't say hello to the avel, because even hello is a bit of a greeting. It's not quite as bad as good morning, because nothing good there. But still, I just start talking to the avel during Shiva. But after Shiva, you know, I certainly would say hello to someone, even good morning. I think we're going to follow the minute to be makel after Shiva, just not to say shalom aleichem.
Would the greeting of like Shabbat shalom, would that be considered like the sinner or the parestia?
We'll get that in a minute.
Okay.
Isn't it hard to say that the Shia shalom is because of the concept of shalom and transcendent? There must be a culture change also the harvest of Shabbat.
Yes, but that's the Chor talking about Shiva. So that's what I want to say. In Lundus, maybe there's a difference between Shiva and after Shiva.
Right, No, I
don't think so. For example, says the Aruch HaShulchan when he paraphrased the Ramah, and he doesn't think he's saying his own thing now. Okay, I'm assuming the harvest of Varim is Tokh Shiva, and therefore I want to say a Lundus of Tokh Shiva after Shiva. Based on the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say Tok Shiva because he's not in Shalom. No, Tok Shiva is because he has all the special Nehugim. After Shiva is just because he's not in Shalom. So I want to make that Lundish Chilup. I can't promise you that it's true, but it would match the Minhag Olam. No one says good morning in the Shiva house, but everyone says good morning after Shiva. Could just be because they forget. It could be that there's a lumbus. Okay, I want to suggest that lumbus.
The starting matter for all these readings, would we say that like inappropriate for the Abel to have some sort of feeling of like contentment or Nuchan or Nechama on his own to say that like, Baruch Hashem, my father's in a better place?
No, but I would say it's inappropriate for us to say everything's good with him. He has the right to feel good when he's up to the stage of feeling good. But for us to say, oh, everything's okay, it's like poo-pooing. Oh, no big deal, Mac. You know, now it's all fine. Let bygones be bygones. Don't cry over spilled milk. Obviously, we don't really mean that, but it's a sensitivity.
I know we sort of talked about this, but the issue of the harvest to drive. If you're at St. Shimon and the other wants to keep talking to you.
Right, Lemaisa, that's happened to me a bazillion times. Sometimes I go to a Siddur Shiva. And the Avel is not a big Talmid Chacham and not a very sophisticated person. And like, you know, all he, you know, like the Baal Shem Tov's flute boy. You know, all he knows how to do is to schmooze. And that's the only way he knows how to connect and do anything, you know. And so I think in cases like that, then one could be Marvich Varm. The Avel, if that's where the Avel's holding, I think one could be Marvich Varm with him.
And like, they did not want to talk about anything other than sports.
Yeah, okay.
It might as well have been nothing happened. Like
but let's be realistic. I know maybe it was unfair when I called him El Shemto's flute boy. You know, some people say, you know, it's a hell of a lie. But why did these 17-year-old twins only want to talk about sports? Really? Because they didn't care that their relative passed away, all they cared about was sports? No, because they had such trouble processing it and they were in such shock and they couldn't deal with the reality that they sort of, the only way they could deal with the reality is talking about something else, otherwise they couldn't handle it. Now, obviously it's not ideal, but that's their holding, not necessarily because they're a low matriga, that's their holding because it's psychologically very, very difficult. You know, yeah, if someone says 80 and his father passed away, he was 110, then it's a little easier for him to, you know, if someone's 17 and I don't know which relative passed away, but whatever, just couldn't have been terribly happy, then sometimes just really hard for the person to deal with it. So in a case like that, where, you know, the person's mamish, all he can do is talk about sports, and all you can do is talk about sports with him, and at least you're connecting with him and showing him you care, right? And otherwise, you'd be showing him you don't care. So nice, and then you have to show you care. You have to use your judgment in these things. You have to use your judgment in these things sometimes. Obviously, sometimes you've been in shiva houses where there's some unsophisticated visitor who starts schmoozing, the uncle doesn't want to schmooze about stupid things, and this visitor keeps, then you have to try and take over the conversation and steer it back to something good. But if the uncle just is not ready to face reality, or whatever the case may be, or, you know, or for whatever reason, the uncle, like, the only way to connect to him is to talk about silly things, then I think even though it says he shouldn't be Margaret with Murren, you have to use your judgment, and if that's the only way to connect with him, then you should connect with him, because it's important. The ikar of the shivakal, of course, is just connecting with the uncle, making feel that you're with him and that you're not alone psychologically. So I think that would have to override the Ein Laharbos Bidvarim. Okay. Beis. Hamotzis Chavir Ovel Shol Shloshim Yom Medavrim Yotin Chumen Ve'inu Shol B'Shlomo Va'achar Shol Shiyom Shol B'Shlomo Ve'inu Medavrim Yotan Chumen Kedarko Elamin Atzad Shinu Maskel Loshim Meishel Omer Tisnachim. Fascinatingly, on the one hand, the sensitivity is within 30 days when you meet someone, even after the Shiva call, you talk to him Tanchumen. Right? It doesn't have to be on Mokom Yachin Eschem, you know, but you say, you know, you go over to him within 30 days, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about whatever, I would have liked to pay a shiva call, but I couldn't, or, you know, make excuses, he doesn't really care. But you talk about the mace, and you're not shalom shalom. After 30 days, however, this also has to be a process. Within 30 days, you have shalom, at a certain point, you have to not chas shalom, let him forget his mace. But you have to let it die down a little. So after 30 days, you don't explicitly talk about it. However, you talk about him outside, indirectly. You don't say, you know, Hamakim Minachem Oschar, you know, or, you know, I heard about the terrible that I felt so bad about your brother. You just say, Tisnachim, you know. You just say, you know, in a very short way. I don't know what we'd say in English. You know, but instead of being Marvin Varim, if you see someone for the first time after 32 days, and then you say, oh, you know, I say, I was sorry to hear, may you find comfort. But you don't dwell on it, because eventually you have to start not moving on, forgetting, but moving on and being comforted, and not have to keep comforting him. Okay, so Okay, there's different gersos in the Gemara, whether it's Bez or Gimel, Gimel, we pass in Gimel. Interestingly, what about for a wife? So if a guy's wife died and he married someone else, then we're very machmir. You don't want to make the second wife feel bad. Nowadays, sometimes people are very open and very cool about this. I know a lot of people whose wife died, and they married a second wife, and the second wife is very cool with the memory of the first wife, and it's all beseder, and she includes the first wife in their life, etc. I mean, the memory of the first wife in the life, etc. And it's like really okay with her. Okay, some people are like really good at these emotional things. They really, you know, but a lot of people, it's a little hard. You know, the second wife doesn't want the guy who's pining for his first wife to be second best. She understands she's not the first wife, but she doesn't need it rubbed in her face. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, if someone remarried, we don't go into his house to wish him tanchumen ever for his first wife, because that's insulting to the second wife. And even in the shuk, where the second wife's not with him, right, we only say it, very softly and very seriously and very briefly. We minimize mention of the first wife once he's married to a second wife, so it's not to insult the second wife. However, let's say he didn't get remarried yet, then it's different. Even though for a regular relative, it's only 30 days we give tanchumen explicitly, for a wife, it's funny, on the one hand, the guy's less related to his wife. There's no blood relation, right? They can theoretically be divorced and not be related anymore. I can't divorce my brother, right? But someone can divorce his wife. However, on the other hand, obviously, just because it's not a blood relation with someone chose and built a life with, so in some ways, the scar is deeper when she passed away. And therefore, if he has not yet remarried, instead of only 30 days to wish explicit tanchumen, there's a full Gimel Regolim, because we assume that somehow the cycle of Gimel Regolim of three very happy occasions helps him get over it. And while of the email, let's just finish with Darmin Tachum, Kogi Beis Chodesh, Tachi Beis Chodesh, Darmin Otsad. And for Avimo, the shear is 12 months, just like the Avelis. For 12 months, you give explicit tanchumen, and after that, you just say it indirectly. Okay, any questions on this? Yeah.
I think I've heard different things about a husband who does get remarried, about like visiting the Kevin's first wife. Is that just like a personal thing, or is that a halakha?
Yeah, so it's a tricky thing. Like, really, halakhically, I forgot where we see this. He shouldn't, like, do things for the yahrzeit of his first wife, etc. You know, he shouldn't go to say, I'm going to visit the kever. He should really, like, not rub the first wife in the face of the second wife. That's the accepted halacha. However, like all of these things, I think there's room to, you know, take into account the circumstances. And in general, like, all else being equal, he should not explicitly relate to the first wife when the second wife might find out about it. But, you know, in real life cases, I think there's room for people to understand the nature of the relationship and be flexible based on that. So it's all about the second wife's feelings. So, you know, I think all else being equal, the principle is the shalom bayis between him and his second wife overrides the covenant mace of his first wife. That's a halachic principle. How to apply the principle, minastam, means he shouldn't do anything for his first wife and only focus on his second wife. In real life, I think, you know, there's such thing as mechilas, you know, as knowing the circumstances, one can take into account the circumstances. But in general, the principle is, that's what we see from here, that the soul bias of the second wife is more important, and he shouldn't do anything to conjure up, to evoke the memory of the first wife, if there's a chance that it might insult the second wife. Who's going to remember the first wife? He'll remember in his head, and the other relatives will do things to remember the first wife. So yes, there is such a halach. I can't quote you chapter and verse, but there is such a thing. Okay, Gimel, where are we up to? Gimel, Makam Shenagul Yosholem B'Shlom Avelim B'Shabbos. How about Shneil Sholem on Shabbos? Right, Yitzchak, yes. Is that Farhesya or is that Sinna? Right? Is Shneil Sholem Mutter on Shabbos? On the one hand, you don't have to say Shabbat Shalom to everyone. Right, Shabbat Shalom is not a shalom, right? You don't have to say Shabbat Shalom to everyone, right? I grew up in Brooklyn. Anyone else here from Brooklyn? In Brooklyn, Avada, you don't say Shabbat Shalom to everyone, right? If people look at you like you're, when I lived in Brooklyn, I had a strange minhag. When I was younger, I was very idealistic. I'm still sometimes very idealistic. I strive to be. When I was younger, I was very idealistic. And when I was in Brooklyn, I would say a resounding loud good Shabbos to every yid who passed me on the street. And you're lucky that I'm still here to tell the tale. because people looked at me like I was trying to steal from them. I was trying to kill them somehow. Like, how could this guy who's, you know, whose yarmulke is a little different color than mine say a loud good Shabbos to me on the street? And even if your yarmulke was the same color, they would feel the same way. Doesn't go to your shul. Okay, so maybe it's safe. I don't say good Shabbos to someone. And that's not, that's Bitsina. That just means he's not on my A-list. Maybe you don't live in Brooklyn. Maybe you live someplace healthier. Let's call it out of town. And then every yid sends good Shabbos to every yid. So it's for Hesse if you pass the yid in the street. In Portland, Oregon, if you pass the yid in the street and don't say good Shabbos. There are none. Okay. Not that out of town. Let's not. In Albany, New York. In Albany, if you pass a yin on the street, you don't say good Shabbos, it's probably very weird. And they wonder, like, what happened to you? Did you move to New York? Is it Sinor for Heska? So it's a machlokes rishonim. Makom shenagu liyo shalom shalom avilim shabbos shalom. It depends on the makom. Depends on the minigam makom. Okay. It's sort of interesting. The simple shot is the minigam makom is which sheet that you follow. I wonder if you'd say no, it's actually self-justifying. In a makom where you say shalom shalom al Shabbos, now it becomes for Hesya Natu. So maybe each makom was right according to that makom. In any case, because of Ramah Sha'avah Moshe Shalom Kolon B'Shabbos, Shihumi Kol Dvarim, She'bit Farhesya the Avel, he means her during Shiva, right? Because during Shalosh, the Avel can do whatever he wants to other people. If the Avel says Shabbat Shalom to everyone because that's considered Dvarim She'bit Farhesya, right? So he's from the Mekilim. Halacha L'Mainsa, it depends on the Minhag. Most of the modern day Sfarim say, okay, some places have the Minhag to do Shalosh Shalom on Shabbos, some places have not to do Shalosh Shalom on Shabbos. It's not 100% clear. Basically, I looked at a whole bunch of Sfarim, and like none of them will commit what our minhag is. They'll say, oh, they're a different minhagim. If someone wanted to be yotze all the deos, then they, or the maximum deos, just say good Shabbos to someone on Shabbos. If you say good Shabbos, then if you're supposed to be shalom b'shalom, you did. And if not, then at least you can say shalom. And according to some deos, if you don't say shalom, it's okay, because it's like good morning. we assume, unlike some chassidim, that Shabbos is not an eight. But halacha lemaisa, I think that the halacha divrei mekel ba'avel here, that perhaps the more authoritative minhag is to say, is to do shalom shalom on Shabbos, and therefore I think certainly, you know, if it's appropriate, one can do shalom shalom on Shabbos and rely on the minhag of the Mekilim, especially since Machaber makes that seem like the better minhag. Says makom shenagu to do it, they can do it. Okay. And the Rambam writes that you should, seemingly leaning that way. So Lamaisa, I think that one can be mekel on shel shalom Shabbos. Ends the Ramah with some very important halachos. V'asher l'shlach manos l'avol l'av imo kol yud beis chodesh v'afilu b'Shabbos makom shenagu shol l'shol l'shlomo. Says the Mishnah Berurah, sending a present counts as Shelah Shalom. And therefore, you can't send a present to an Avel for 30 days, is what he doesn't say. And for a parent for a full 12 months, you can't give him a birthday present. You can't give a birthday present to an Avel or any other such present to an Avel, right? You can't send flowers to the, we send flowers to the Shiva house, okay? I don't know if Jews send flowers to the Shiva house so much. But someone does, they assume that's for the house. But you can't like send flowers to the Elm for his birthday, for Valentine's Day, whatever it may be, for 30 days for other relatives, 12 months for parents, because sending a present is bechlal, is the same madriga shel shalom. I mean, the other can send you a present, but you can't send him. And on Shabbos, it depends what the minig is on Shabbos. That's why, what is our minhag? Our minigs do machmer and Purim, even though Purim might be the same as Shabbos, might be less, might be more. So it's not clear if we have shel shalom or Purim or not. The minhag on Purim is to be machmir, and the avil send b'shalach manos to other people, but the other people don't send b'shalach manos to the avil. How does everyone do the mitzvah? The avil can send to whoever he wants. He could be shalom b'shalom after Shiva. And even Tov Shiva, he should send one just because the mitzvah yom is docha. And other people don't send to him. They send to someone else, and it's no problem. The minhag is that, you know, if there's the husband sitting Shiva, he can send b'shalach manos, the couple sends to the wife. The wife sitting Shiva, the couple sends to the husband. But what if the wife and the husband are both sitting Shiva? This happened once. One of my Rebbeim. It so happened, one of my Rebbeim, his His, if I'm not mistaken, father and mother-in-law passed away in the same week, both at a very advanced age. And he and his wife were both available, and they had no kids at home, right? They were already, you know, I don't know, 70, let's say, 65, whatever. And they were both over there, so I didn't send them to Shalom Manos. What can you do? Okay, so the Arminic is on par to be Machmer. But it's a very important halacha. You can't send a birthday present to an Avel. Lamaisa, if you really want to send a birthday present to an Avel, then don't treat ankle on Shabbos. halacha, even though the Gilad Marsha says that Machlok is Magna Raman Tazan, on Purim Lamaisa, it's not so clear as what they say, and our Minhag is to be Machmer on Purim. One very important Taz here says the Taz, Sifkat and Aleph. Cause of Mori Cham Izal B'Shem Hagah B'Shem Rabbeinu Yehuda. Avel Toch Shloshim and Yochel Hazman Lachir Melizamin Machir. He can't invite others or be invited to others. Venera Dehu Adin Kol Yiris Chodesh Lov V'Imo. An invite also is like Madrig of Shel Shalom. Therefore, for all of Shloshim, and here he says it doesn't make a difference which direction. Either way, you're together. Basically, you can't invite an Avel for a meal. You can't invite an Avel for a meal or go to their house for a meal for Shloshim Yom for other relatives and for Yud Beis Chodesh for a parent. Halacha L'maisa, what does this mean? This means that you shouldn't go out to a restaurant with an Avel or invite them to your house for a meal or go to their house for a meal. It doesn't mean, I assume there's inviting. It doesn't mean that if you and the Avel are waiting to Hakan America Zit to catch a bus that you can't get pizza together. That doesn't count as inviting. That's like having a bite to eat. But like a real inviting, that's the Madriga Shel Shalom is Usher. Here's the big debate. How about Shabbos meals? There are some people who paskin that if someone's father or mother passes away for 12 months, they can't get together for Shabbos meals with anyone. Maybe for other reasons also. Lemaisa, we'll come back to this, but that seems a little hard. We'll modify this a little later when it comes to Simchas Bereis. But Lemaisa, so we can be Mekel on Shabbos, right? Certainly after Shloshim, we can be Mekel on Shabbos. You know, if you're within Shloshim, so okay. Nicer to be Machmer, perhaps. But certainly after Shloshim, and even within Shloshim, we can be Mekel on Shabbos, because if it's only within Shel Shalom, then Shel Shalom, maybe our Minhag HaMakom was to be Mekel on Shabbos. So therefore, Halacha L'maisa, you can be Mekel to invite an Avel over for a Shabbos meal within 12 months or even within 30 days on Shabbos, but not on a weekday. Because it's like Shel Shalom. This is if you're inviting one couple over. If you're having a big party, that's worse. That's Simchas Bereis, that's Simcha, that's later. But just to have one couple over or a family over, that's not a party. But it's like Shel Shalom. Okay, so then that's also what the Gesher Chaim paskins, that on Shabbos you can invite someone over for a Shabbos meal, but on weekdays you shouldn't invite them over for a meal.
We say that
Yes.
What's the connection?
So it's interesting, meaning that doesn't fit very well to say it's only the transcendent Shalom, etc., right? But the idea is that Shela Shalom is like giving a tremendous happiness to someone, and giving a gift is also is like, you know, giving them like some special happiness and giving them a gift that's inappropriate for Avelos. Again, how does that work with being Makel and Good Morning? Like, then it must be with philosophy. So you just have to say that, that nonetheless, gift-giving, unless you want to get into philosophy of gift-giving, that's a little beyond my pay scale. But still, gift-giving is like such a being misameach someone that it is...
being misameach someone, I would assume, is different than Shel Shalom.
Right, so again, every gift is not necessarily misameach someone at a big, wild party. But gift giving is, you know, certainly it's no less than greeting someone, right? If you give someone a gift, you're like being machshev, like, you know, and like things like Shel Shalom is wishing good on someone, giving them a gift is giving goodness to them, and therefore it's inappropriate. You shouldn't like give something good to someone when they are sad. All right, let's leave it at that. Oh, yes.
Is there any difference if your family eating together, going out to a restaurant, or giving gifts?
It's an interesting question. Some of the posts can talk about gifts that aren't really gifts, more like tips. And that they're all makel. You know, like if everyone, you know, buys a gift for the teacher at the end of the year, that's not really a gift. That's more of a tip. What about like the husband giving his wife jewelry or something for her birthday or a birthday present? I don't know. I mean, obviously not everything is a gift. If I tell my kid, you know, you have to use your common sense. you know, if you're good, you know, I'll, you know, I mean, kids don't have a bagels anyway. But I think a birthday present, the husband shouldn't buy his wife a, should the husband not buy his wife a birthday present? Well, if she's an avelis, what about Shalom Bias? You know, look, the husband has to buy his wife things that she needs. You know, so where's the draw the line between a birthday present and things that she needs? Well, my side would say that if the wife is in avelis, then he shouldn't buy her a very fancy, very elaborate, special birthday present. Well, get something toned, you know, if he wants to recognize, get something toned down for the house, as it were. But, you know, you should buy her a diamond necklace for a birthday present when she's in avelis. I think that would be b'chlal. What? Ah, what about going out on your own to a restaurant during avelis? So, it's hard for me to think of a reason why. I know some people don't go to restaurants during avelis. I'm not really sure why. If you go out by yourself to a restaurant, you're just eating someplace else. Oh, no, going with someone else to a restaurant, that's like this taz. No.
What about your family?
Oh, I mean, just with your family, so you can eat with your family at home. No, I don't think it's having your kid, your married kids over is what the taz means. The taz means like people are not part of your family. He doesn't mean your family. No, he doesn't mean your family. He doesn't mean like, you know, the married kids can't go to their parents for Sunday brunch when they're in avelis. No, he means like strangers, not family. Where to draw the line? You know, I don't know, my third cousin. Use your common sense.
Should people be careful about like when they send wedding invitations that not to send it to people that are in avelis?
I mean, theoretically you should, because it would be more sensitive since they can't attend. You know, I don't think there's an isser, because they all will understand that when you send them wedding invitation, what you're saying is, you know, we just want you to know about this, and like, we'd like you to come if you weren't enough help. What's the minhag? Well, like from Mishloach Manos, the minhag is, right, if Reuven and Rachel are my neighbors, and Reuven's in Avelos, I only write Rachel on Mishloach Manos. What's the minhag for wedding invitations? What's the minhag for wedding invitations? When Reuven's in Avelos, and you send the invitation, do you only write Rachel, or do you write Reuven and Rachel? I think the minhag write both of them, and everyone understands what you mean is you're thinking of them, but you're not really inviting them. I think that's the minhag. Because again, you're not giving them anything as a wedding invitation, right? It's not a matana. So I think the minhag to write them both on the wedding invitation. What if they're both in avelis? I don't know. Should you send someone a wedding invitation if they're both in avelis? I had this suffix the year one of my rebbeim and his wife were both in avelis. I said, can I ask you a shayla? I'm making a bar mitzvah. What if you're making a bar mitzvah and you very much would want to invite someone, but both members of the couple are in avelis, they can't come anyway? Is it more polite to invite them or to not invite them? So he said, you've succeeded in solving the problem. Okay. He didn't answer my question. So I guess that's what you should do. What? It was Rav Bick. It was actually, okay, well, we'll get to, I'll tell you part of the story a little later. From that avelis. Actually, a lot of interesting parts of that story, but not for now. Okay, Shem Kevav, Atifas Harosh. Avel Chayim, Atifas Harosh. Avel Asdur, Atifas Harosh. Anyone know where this concept of Atifas Harosh is familiar to us? From Talis. Exactly, from Talis. There's a talis l'sa'atik b'tifis, there's a machlokas rishonim, really going back to the onim, does l'sa'atik just mean to wear it, or to do what's called atifas yishme'ilim, to do this kind of atifa. And we paskin, me'ikra din l'sa'atik b'tifis just means to wear it. Anyway, you wear the talis, me'ikra din is good enough, but we have a chumra l'chatkila, that when we put on the talis, we do the atifa, that's described in Hilchas Avelos, because what did the Gemara say? The Gemara says, any atifa that's not atifa yishme'ilim is not atifa. They're talking about avelos. Only yotze atifas are roshli. Always only yotze because atifas yishme'ilim. Chok says, does that mean kol tarkula it's not atifa? If it didn't, we pasuk in atifas. Talis, atifa, we're just wearing it however you want. Lechatchila, the minhag, all of them, we all know the minhag. Lechatchila is to put it on you the weird way of atifas yishme'ilim. But that's only a chomer lechatchila. That's not the ikra din. But in avelos, it's the ikra din. What is this funny kind of atifa? The Hainu Sheikhasa Rosh Batalis of the Sudar, he covers his head with the talis or the kerchief, the Yasir Ksasu al Piv Yal Rosh Achotem, and you wrap part of it around on your mouth and on the edge of your nose. Right? I don't have a right. I'll demonstrate for you. I am not demonstrating what an Avel would do, because that's a bad simon. I'm demonstrating how to do a Hakim Yer Talis, right? It says, Agubi de Dikna, until here. Some people, a lot of Sfarim point out, there are some people who don't understand the halacha properly and think you're supposed to take both sides of your talis. Your talis ideally should not be 10 meters long. Okay, let's do it both sides. And go like this. Some people go like this. That is not the halacha, right? Why would the Yishma'ilim walk around like this? Then they wouldn't see where they were going and they would trip and fall into pits and die. And eventually someone would notice and change. Rather, what does the Tivish Yishma'ilim? You take both halves of it around and you go like this. You cover your mouth and the top of your nose. That's how Yishma'ilim would go in the desert, right? You cover your mouth and your nose so you don't get COVID from the desert sand. And you leave your eyes open so you can see where you're going. That's Atifas Yishma'ilim. Anyway, and that's what an Avel is supposed to do. And that's the Chachila, what we do with a Talus. That's all day long. However, when people come to be Menachem Avel, it's not covered to be Mis'atef and say, I'm not Mityachis, I'm not relating to you. Therefore, he uncovers his head for their covered. Okay, that's the halacha of Atifas Arosh. Okay, our minhag is not to Atifas Arosh, even though it's a din of the Gemara, a minhag posture, it's a widespread minhag. But right, Pashat doesn't mean an obvious minhag, it's a widespread minhag. Interestingly, even if someone might say, no, I'm going to be a Talmudic Yid, and I'm going to go back to the din of the Gemara, says, nope, one should not go against Minhag Yisrael, even if Minhag Yisrael is against the Gemara, stick with Minhag Yisrael, not with the Gemara. Don't be machmer on things that our forefathers were not machmer on. And therefore, nowadays, no one does a Tifus Arosh. Says the Shach and the Tazir, that the Rokeach writes, however, we should do a little Atifas Arosh. What's a little Atifas Arosh? You take your hat and you put your hat down on a slant so it covers your eyes a little. Once in my entire life did I meet anyone who did this. They actually did it with a baseball cap, which, okay, luckily it's all the same. But that, I've not seen that to be the meaning anyway. Even though in the days of the Gemara, you had to Atifa Mamish. The days of the Shach and the Taz, you had to put your hat down slanted. Nowadays, people don't do any Atifas Arosh. Why did we stop doing Tifus Arosh is a tremendous mystery. The Ramah doesn't say. Says the Shach, Mivnei Shemevi L'dei Schok Godol Min Ha'ov Bei Kocham V'Avada Mishvacha Sheveinenu. Because it creates a lot of laughter from the Goyim and the Goyish servants in our household. Because the Goyim laugh at us, and that ruins the mood. Yeah, and it's one of these funny things, like, most of what Jews do, the Goyim can laugh at, right? We do a lot of weird things. The Seder of the Goyim laugh at us. You know, so why, I understand, we don't want them to laugh at us in the middle of the Shiva house, because that'll ruin the mood. It's a little funny, since when do we change the din of the Gemara, because the Goyim might laugh at us? You know, and besides the fact, like, most people now, they don't have Goyim in their Shiva house, right? And if the Goyim would come, they'd be very respectful, right? It's a big mystery why we don't do a Tifus Arosh anymore. The only explanation I've seen is this Shach, because it brings schok from the Goyim, which is a weak explanation. He probably also knew it was a weak explanation. But Lamaisa, nowadays we don't do a Tifus Arosh for whatever reason. And fascinatingly enough, there are only two positive things the Avol had to do. There are a lot of Yisurim. What are the two positive things the Avol had to do? A Tifus Arosh and Tfiyas Hamita. And guess how many of them we do nowadays? Zero. For some reason, the two positive things the Avel does, we stop doing. It's not clear why. The negative things we kept refraining from. But the two positive things the Avel does, we stop doing. It's a big historical mystery why. I mean, you could say this is the Goyim, that's the Goyim. But it's still funny, like conceptually, historically. Like, I'm sure there are a lot of things that Goyim found strange about Jews. Like, why Davka, 100% of all positive things Avelim were supposed to do, we stop doing. It's very mysterious. But let's look at Shempei Zion. Avil chai b'kfiya samita. Avil has to overturn his bed. An Avil has to overturn his bed. The Torah already explains. It's not that an Avil can't sit on a bed. The Avil has to overturn his bed. As a matter of fact, he has to overturn all the beds, even ones he's not using. Why does an Avil have to overturn his bed? This is not because he can't sit on a chair. That's a different halacha. Why does the Avel have to overturn his bed? What is the Gemara saying? Daf Tesvav Moi Katan. A very interesting explanation. Most yukni nasati lach bachem uvavonusechem hafachtiv. Hashem says, I put my image in you. Tzelem Elokim. And through Averos, you brought death into the world and overturned the Tzelem Elokim. Basically, death represents us sinning, right? Because death comes from the Chet of Eitz Hadas and continued sinning. And therefore, we've overturned we've caused this bittle of the Tzelem Elokim. And because we were mehapich the Tzelem Elokim, we have to mehapich our beds. Okay, exactly why beds is not 100% clear. Some people say because, you know, beds are something that, the fact that we sit, in those days they sat on beds and slept on beds, right? Most people didn't have chairs, they sat on beds, is one of the things that makes us different from animals. Lemaisa, we have to overturn the beds because of the overturning of the Tzelem Elokim. Explains the Rav. The Rav says, we still have a kiyum of Kriyas Amita. What's our kiyum of Kriyas Amita nowadays? Says the Rav, we cover the mirrors in the Shiva house. Doesn't say anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch to cover mirrors in the Shiva house. However, everyone knows one of the basic Jewish customs. Even the Reform Jews know this, that you have to cover the mirrors in the Shiva house. Says the Rav, why? Well, because if we overturn the Tzelem Elokim, then we cover up the mirrors that reflect the Tzelem Elokim on us. So the Rav held that covering mirrors is a real kiyum because it's a modern day kiyum of Kriyas Amita. Okay. It's hard to know how to evaluate that. But it could very well be. Otherwise, we're not sure why we cover the mirrors in a shit house. So the Rav says it's our Kriyas Amita. Because as we'll see in a moment, we don't do Kriyas Amita. Let's just finish this. It was Shashen of Achilu Yosho Amita Kfuya. When he eats and sleeps, he sits on an overturned bed. Literally, you turn the bed upside down. But all day long, he doesn't even sit on the overturned bed. Ella Gikarka. You know, it's hard to eat on the ground and sleep on the ground. But all day long, and Avel has to sit on the ground, as we know. Even the people who pay Shiva calls have to sit on the ground. Ah, nowadays, the people who pay Shiva calls don't sit on the ground. So the Taz explains to Zavkat and Aleph, because why do the Menachem have to sit on the ground? They're not sitting Shiva. You know why the Menachem sit on the ground? Out of covered for the Avel. If the Avel's on the ground, it's covered for you to also sit on the ground. And if it's only out of kavod, effing in one word, what can you do if it's only out of kavod? You can be mochel. So he says nowadays everyone's, the oval's always mochel, and that's why nowadays the menachemim always sit on chairs. Okay, how about the oval though? Where's the oval sit? So the mechaber says he sits on the ground. Says the shach and the taz that that if it's hard for him to sit on the ground, he can put a pillow under him. That's all they're willing to give you. If it's hard, you can put a pillow. Says the Aruch HaShulchan here, right, basically, what about sitting? Right? Avel sitting. Says the Mechaber Karka. Says the Shach and Taz Harka. If it's hard for him, then on a pillow. But no one says to sit on a, remember those Shiva chairs? Everyone knows it's a gamach of Shiva chairs. No one says you're allowed to sit on a Shiva chair. They just say if it's hard, you put a pillow underneath. However, says the Aruch HaShulchan. V'yeshematzer, it says the Aruch HaShulchan, v'lav davgal karka, el safsal katan. It can be a low stool. That's what we have nowadays, special shiva chairs. Or kermaksasos, or pillows. Now it's a little funny. He quotes from Rikiv Eger. Rikiv Eger says you go with pillows and sleep on them. He's not talking about sitting. But he says, no, you can sit on a low stool or pillows. The Yeshem Master is not really a karka. Some people say you need dafka karka. But he quotes right from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Vayeshu ito la'aretz al ha'aretz in sitkan el la'aretz darushu samuch la'aretz. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, right from the Yerushalmi. It doesn't say on the ground, but to the ground. They were close to the ground. And that shows it could be a says the Aruch HaShulchan. No, it could even be a low stool is mutter. Obviously, we all know the Minhag Olam is like the Aruch HaShulchan. I've seen a few people sitting Shiva in my life who mamish sit on a cushion on the ground, like the Shach and Taz, because it's hard to sit on the ground. It hurts you after a while. We're not used to such toughness nowadays. but almost everyone sits on a low chair. Okay, that's the Erech HaShulchan Seder. It's not something invented nowadays by people who don't care about halacha. The Erech HaShulchan says, okay, brings a riot for the Yerushalmi and adds the Erech HaShulchan. This should be Pasha, he didn't miss this. And if it's hard, then it's mutter to sit on a chair, on a regular chair. Meaning, what if you have old people, right? They has 85 and sitting shiva, and he's gonna, it's gonna, you know, his whole body's gonna fall apart if he sits on a low stool. Then they can sit on a regular chair. That's our meaning. Nowadays, Tisha B'Av as well. Everyone sits on a low stool. And the old people and sick people sit on a regular chair. So too for shiva, everyone sits on a low stool. The old and sick people sit in a regular chair. It's okay to be machmir to sit on the ground on a pillow. I've seen many talmidei chachamim who do that, but that's not the mainstream halacha.
There is a certain height that's considered low.
We assume 3 tefachim because of lovud. Because in all kol Torah kula, 3 tefachim is off the ground. The Mishnah, the Aruch Hashulchan doesn't say that, but that's the minhag olam.
And I've seen like in Tisha B'Av people sometimes have those like low beach chairs they bring into shul that are low but kind of seem very comfortable. That would be like just against the spirit, but technically within the
Lechora, but one shouldn't sit on something too comfortable. I'm not convinced they're really comfortable. They might look comfortable, it's hard for me as they really are.
You haven't gone to the beach enough.
I have not gone to the beach a lot. Whether I have not gone to the beach enough is a judgment call, but it's a fact that I have not gone to the beach a lot. But also, you know, come back when you're my age and check if it's comfortable.
It's really better that these chairs are pretty comfortable. They're like leathery. And...
yeah, but it's still not comfortable to sit so low. Uh-huh. It's still not comfortable to sit so low. And you know, even if it is comfortable, you're still lowering yourself. But I mean, again, it's really not comfortable to sit so low. Okay, how about sleeping? It says here that v'shash shein of achilio, he sleeps on an upside down bed, says the shach, so gan aleph arotza lishon tzarech lishon al gavi karka, you have to sleep on the ground, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, quoting the Teferis Lemoshe, you can put a mattress on the ground and sleep on it. So what about sleeping? Says the shach karka, sleep on the floor. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, no, a mattress on the floor. Kerm ksasos, you got pillows and blanket, meaning mattress on the floor. However, the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkatan Beis quotes the name of the Panim Iros Shecholik Alzeh, that you're allowed to sleep on a bed. Panim Iros in the Pesachei Tshuva. In the Pisgei Tshuva Sifkat and Beis says even on a bed, the Avol can sleep normally. What's our minhag? Says the Gesher Chaim. Our minhag is like the Erech HaShulchan in sitting and like the Panim Iros in sleeping. Okay, so our minhag is that the Avol can sleep in a bed, even though it's against the Shach and it's even against Rabbi Akiva Eger, but we follow the Panim Iros. Sif Beis Asha Lonago B'Kfiyas Amita. Nowadays you never saw anyone overturn their bed when they were in Ovel. Why not? First reason is the Goyim might think it's sorcery. In those days, I guess overturning beds is part of sorcery. You don't want the Goyim to think we're doing sorcery because then that leads to a pogrom. Second reason, our beds are not made like the old-fashioned beds. You can't tell if they're upside down. What were their beds like? Their beds, if here is a side view, here's the floor, right? Their beds were like just as high on top as on bottom. If you're turning them upside down, they would still look like regular beds. Right? Here is Ein Nikar Vahem Kfiya. As opposed to the Talmudic beds. The Talmudic beds were just like this, and here's the floor. Then it's Nikar Vahem Kfiya. Right? If the beds have legs but nothing on top of them, then if you turn it upside down, it looks upside down. If the beds have sticks on top of them coming up also to put the canopy on or whatever, then if you turn it upside down, you can't tell it's upside down. So he says, number one, the Goyim will make a program, they'll think we're casting spells on them. Number two, our beds don't look different if they're upside down.
Is that like flipping over completely, not just turning over?
No, Davka, you flip it upside down. Uh-huh. Of course, what about nowadays? Nowadays, I think the Goyim are not going to think we're casting spells on them if we turn our beds upside down. And a lot of our beds, you wouldn't notice they're upside down, right? Most beds nowadays, the beds they give you in grocery, if you turn it upside down, you'll notice the legs are sticking up, right? So why don't we do Kfiya Samita? One of these mysteries, I think we go back to the Ramban, apply it here also. One shouldn't start doing Kfiya Samita and deviate from the minhag of all Jews, but we're not 100% sure why Davka, two out of two positive Kiyumim Havelos, we do not, we don't keep anymore. It's the big mystery of Hilchas Havelos. The big mystery. You know, when it comes to all the Isurim of Havelos, we basically keep them. Some of them add extra chumras. That always happens historically. But no one's going to say, oh, nowadays we wash. Nowadays we do laundry. Nowadays we work. No, we don't. But for some reason, the two positive things we just stopped doing, and the reasons are a little iffy, and they don't. And even if the reasons were good reasons, nowadays those reasons don't apply. But the mice, if we don't do them, it's a mystery.
I don't just write down anywhere, but like by Tisha B'Av, so we go to Minhag to take together the pillow. If they have two, usually they have one. We'd say the same thing by Avelos, or?
It's a good question. Should we take away your pillow by Avelos like you do? In Hilchas Tisha B'Av, or, you know, is that a unique thing just for the Churban?
Is that also a real thing by
It's not a Chiyuv, but it's a din. It's an Inyan. Yeah, I think it's a real Inyan by Tisha B'Av. I think it really is. The answer is, I'm really not sure. I haven't seen it in the modern day Sfarim. I haven't seen it in the modern day Sfarim. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it. Could be it's only Tisha B'Av. Okay. Shin Peches, Avel B'Yom Rishon Asur L'Nicht Tefillin. Avel is a special din, meaning there's nothing to do with Aninos, right? There's Avelos, right? I've gotten the Shiloh so many times, right? What does someone say to me? It says, I haven't worn Tefillin because I've been in Onin, and now the Levi is coming up. Should I bring my Tefillin to the funeral and put them on right afterwards so I can hop Tefillin? Right? Good question for a Yerushalayim person, right? So, what's the answer? The answer is, says the Shulchan Aruch, there's a special Isser of an Avel wearing tefillin on the first day. So the mainstream answer is no, should not put on tefillin, because an Avel is usher and tefillin the first day of Avelos. Forget about nothing to do with Aninos. Why? Why is an Avel usher and tefillin? Who remembers? Didn't we learn this last year?
I was here, but air.
Right. It says, we dash it from Basim Yecheskel, but the Sfara is because the tefillin is called Pe'er, and an Avel doesn't have Pe'er. It's a big lumbus we're not going to now. If we learned Sukkah last year, did we learn Sukkah last year, or was that 2 years ago? Last year we learned Bava Kamma. Fine, I meant 2 years ago. I think 2 years ago was Sukkah. Then we learned Hakira. Is it a din in tefillin that it's against the kingdom of tefillin for an oval to wear because tefillin have to be glorious and an oval is inglorious? Or is it a din in Avelos that it's against Avelos for him to glorify himself? Given even without getting into the lumbus, and there's a lot to say about the lumbus, but not for now. Lamaisa, tefillin is glory and an oval is wallowing in the dirt. Olav Afer Kairo is Rashi's memorable phrase. And therefore, an Avel can't wear tefillin. For how many days can't an Avel wear tefillin? Machlokas Tanai, Machlokas Rishonim. 1 day or 2 days. Says the Mechaber, Avel also neich tefillin b'yom Rishon, the first day of Avelos, he can't wear tefillin. But after sunrise on the second day, he is allowed to wear tefillin. Why does he have to wait for sunrise on the second day? Do you have to wait for sunrise to wear tefillin? Anyone here ever done a basikin? When do you put on your tefillin?
Yeah.
From Misha Yakir. So the answer is because the Machaber holds that the Isser is 2 days, but makes a Yom Kikulo. So makes a Yom Kikulo means a little, and Machachila, anything that has to do in the day, we wait for after sunrise to get the sage light, so you have to wait a little after sunrise, and then it'll be Mitzvah Yom Kikulo of the second day. Not everyone agrees. Look at the Shach, says the Shach. The Shach and the Bach says it's only us for 1 day. You can put it in the oven, put it on the second day, even kibosikin, even before sunrise. Halacha lemaisa. How do we paskin on this? So the the Gesher Chaim writes, I thought I wrote down here. Oh, where it was. Okay. Lamaisa, the Gesher Chaim writes, here we are. The Gesher Chaim writes that L'chachilo, we should be machmer like the Mechaber, right? Is it really? The Isser of Tefillin. Is it really? It's Machlokes Tanoim, 2 days. But Mikvas Hayom Kekulo, and that's the Mechaber, who says, wait for Hanetz, or, no, it's only 1 day. And that's the Bach and the Shach, who say, Mutter Miyad, you don't have to wait for Nates on the second day, says the Gesher Chaim, L'chachila b'machmir for the Mechaber, but B'shas Abhak, let's say the only way the Olu can get a Minyan is a Minyan Kevasikin, or even earlier than Vasikin. And otherwise not be able to done with Tefillin. If you're stuck, then you can be Mako. So says the Gesher Chaim. L'chachila b'machmir. But Shasachak doesn't mean like the world's going to come to an end. It just means that he won't have a minion later. Then he can be Makel. So preferably wait for Hanetz. But Lamaisa, we pass like the Shach and the Bach, and if he needs to, he can be Makel. Halacha Divrei Makel be'Avil. Continuing in the Mechaber, Miboilel Avili Suri Daiti L'Chavuni Libe L'Tfilin. An Avil on the second day and on, what's the problem? The problem is someone has an Isher Hesachadas. Tefillin is an Isser of Hesach Adas, and therefore, if the Ovel is wallowing even on the second day, he's going to violate Kedusha Tefillin. Therefore, he's chayef to calm himself and be mechavin in his heart for the Tefillin, shlo yisei ha'daikmim, not to be distracted from the Kedusha Tefillin. Avol b'shas hesper debechi lo marachu. Therefore, even in the old days, before the whole day, for sure don't wear when he's crying. He would take it off when he's crying, even on the second day. Take it off when he's eating a hesper, even on the second day. Because in times when he can't control himself, he should for sure take it off. But nowadays, obviously, our minhag does only wear tefillin during davening. So, l'chor, during davening, the Ovel can control himself and focus on the tefillin, and then he can wear it from the second day and on. Okay, but this if he's talking about the second day. Okay, where is all the controversy? All the controversy is, okay, the hour's a little late. You know what? Let's just do it it'll only take 1 second. We'll skip some of the details. What about the following two cases? Or the following few cases? All right, let's pick up with this Mirzah on Tuesday. So we did the Mechaber, but we haven't gotten to all the controversial cases of what counts as the first day, but doesn't count as the first day. We'll pick up with that. Mirzah Hashem, we'll have to raise the board. You'll get this board next time. So we'll pick up Tuesday, Mirzah Hashem, and we'll just finish up some of the controversial cases in Simon Shin Pei Ches and go on to the next Simon. Any questions?